prone to that. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
No racism here today, I guess. I guess we'll just have to be straight.
It just started,
oh, hi, everyone.
It just started recording while you were in the middle of that.
I know. I did that on purpose, William.
Uh-huh. Yeah, guys, she did
it
on purpose.
I was the William for today.
Okay. Well, this is a main channel live stream. So we are bringing UTT, Unresolved Textual Tension, to the masses, the proles, doing a little charity of work for you guys.
No, don't call
Not
them
UTIs.
The proles.
The proletariat. I am one of the proletariat as well. You know, it's good to be part of the proletariat. It means you're not a bourgeois pig. Okay, hey everyone. So the idea behind the stream today is that we are going to be responding to some comments. Partly this is because Iron Flame, the sequel to Fourth Wing, which was such a great book, is taking longer to read than we thought, and we needed an extra episode. I then screwed it up by releasing an episode yesterday when this could have been the episode for this week, but we are pushing forward, and if you are watching this in the future, that probably will not make any sense. But yes, we're going to be responding to comments, because a lot of times we get comments that are really interesting, but the three of us are really bad about typing back responses. Like, we
oh,
read
I
all
just
of your guys'
to...
comments.
No, honestly, the reason I don't is I don't know if I'm allowed to. So I just, like, unless it's a pot, like, a purely pot, I'm like, you know what, I just won't touch it, because Will's, like, the captain of the ship, and... Like, I don't want to get in trouble.
I like that you said that. The captain
he rolls
of the
with a
ship.
Iron fist.
Yes. And the thing is that it's good that you guys recognize that. I'm not a god, but a prophet, maybe. Again, this is not the kind of cult I wanted to lead in life. I wanted one with a lot more sister wives, but whatever. I guess we can do this. And so I thought it would be nice to respond to them. I actually think from going forward, what we're probably going to do is before each recording each week, we're going to do like a 10-minute comment response to one comment we found interesting that week and upload it as a separate video.
Oh, that's nice.
Partly because going through all these comments, I realize it's kind of hard to come up with ones that are interesting to react to, because a lot of times it's like our reaction is just not going to be very long. I wanted something that could kind of
engage,
spawn some discussion. And then it's also hard because lately it's either been me and Katie or me and Maria doing a video, and so I didn't want to leave any of the three of us out.
Or Katie and I.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that one yet. I still need to edit it.
That was a really good one. Oh my
god.
How
gosh. Did you guys go for 2 hours?
We had a lot to say. We had a lot to say. Again, we had a lot to say.
That was a really great episode.
I think it was a great episode.
I loved it. So many laughs. So Balls and Brine, the new t-shirt trademark that we need to make and sell.
Literally, that was the 5 minutes that I logged in.
I know,
that was
I
it.
Could not believe it. That was like serendipitous.
I was literally like, Will's going to have such fun editing this, and then there he was.
Hi,
okay,
everyone.
All right.
Oh, again, for those who are joining us just now, this is a YouTube live stream for everyone, not just our patrons.
Yes.
There's been a couple that have been accidentally everyone, and then we've had to stop.
That hasn't happened for a year, okay?
It
we're
hasn't
gonna...
happened in
years.
A while.
Are we really at the point where
I said year. By the way, also, this is our 102nd episode, so congratulations to us, guys.
Yay.
Good job.
That's a lot of content. That's a lot of hours we have spent discussing literature.
It is
I
so many.
Literature.
Yeah, it's like... 200 at yeah
more than that certainly
it's a lot. I've had to see your guys' faces a lot, and I have a lot of suggestions for your plastic surgeons. Okay
so
it's funny, I forget that we're on public here and I can't make the kind of jokes that I do when where it's just the patrons and they're subjected
you.
To my thoughts.
Hey, we have a question though, and I figured, like, will you review other books?
Oh, this is actually a good one. So, for those who don't remember, they wrote Iron Widow, which we despised, or I despised, and you guys didn't think was very good.
It's the only book out of all the books that we've read that I didn't finish.
I still think it's probably the most problematic book we've read. Like, it's But, no, probably not. First of all, because we got a lot, that is by far the book that has gotten us the most negative comments, and not just negative, like, nasty. You guys won't see it if you go and look at the video.
Our protector, I suppose.
So in general, my comment moderation policy is that if you don't agree with us or you didn't like the book, that's fine. But if you're rude, and you guys, you're adults, you know what being rude and what isn't is, I will cut it. Because I think that just breeds an environment of... It's a race to the bottom of people not feeling comfortable saying their opinions and stuff like that. So that's one reason we don't want to, is we just don't want to engage with that crowd again. And the other thing is that I don't know that our critiques would be necessarily any different. I have a feeling that the author is going to just have the same problems again, and then we're going to just get more negative comments.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before, if I remember correctly. Also, we have another question. Well, it's not a question. It's a hint. But yes. Stay tuned for that bad boy. Let me tell you, it has been...
We're reading it right now.
Oh, God. Help. Even at 2x speed, 14 hours.
I am in pain.
I think the way I said it to my mother is that it makes me think that feminism went too far. Like, we need to start telling women that they should be ashamed of their libidos, because this is the kind of thing that it wreaks on the world when they just feel they can write what they want to. It's so bad, and I hate it, and I haven't even gotten to the first sex scene.
See, for me, the problem is, because I've gotten to the first sex scene and second sex scene at this point, and what I can say is the sex scene parts of it are by far, like, they're not good. We know they're not good, but everything else around it is where I have trouble. Like, I could go on a tangent. I've literally just been cataloging shit that has been driving me up a wall from a world building conflict. Like last book, the dragons were like, oh no, you can't fuck with the dragons. And then in this book, they were like, no, we can get the dragons like to do stuff. And then the dragon's like, no, you can't get me to do stuff. And then I'm like, but then also, like,
God, I haven't gotten that far yet. I've gotten about an hour in so far, I think. And it's, go ahead.
Go. No, you go first.
What I was going to say is, I cannot stand, like, it's actually making me physically angry how much Violet is being dumb about this stupid secret stuff. He literally, the most mature response, despite the fact that I don't love any of the characters particularly, but Zayden's just like, yeah, I'm a rebel leader. I'm gonna have some secrets. And that's the natural order of things. And she's like, yeah.
Okay, guys. Okay, we can't get too distracted by this.
I just have one thing for you guys to look forward to. Yes. There is a scene. You know how we were like, why would you have a war college where you just kill off so many people?
Yeah.
It's like Yaros. Not obviously not ours. It was too late by the time we put ours out. But it's like she got feedback and she read a lot of the comments. And she literally has a scene where Violet emotionally justifies the killing.
What?
Of all the other cadets and people and going across the like tiny bridge and falling off. And
there's actually... somebody in one of the comments mentioned that it's weirdly eugenicsy, and I was like, oh. There actually were a lot of comments we could respond to there, but I figured it would be better to do that in its own video so that this one didn't get sidetracked. Yes. A bunch of people have been like saying about my feminism thing or whatever. Guys, I was kidding. I literally just... We should not shut down an entire social movement for justice because one book is gross. Yeah. As much as I would maybe like that. But anyway, I was kidding. okay, so... Yeah, guys, we're not going to talk about politics in the
yeah, unfortunately, chat. This should be a safe space for everyone. And unfortunately, politics, especially now, are just on fire. It's a trash heap. Go watch Hassan. Go watch
Hassan. No, don't do that. His foreign policy takes are awful. Except for this issue. But anyway, we're really just not going to get into that. We're just not going to get into that. We're just not going to get into that, guys.
I haven't been watching him at all, so I don't even know what's going on.
His views on Taiwan are just like...
I haven't even heard any of that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, Maria's sad because I always refer to him as her boyfriend because I think him and her would make a really good cute couple.
No, Katie has also said the exact same thing. Yeah. Like, and listen, he should be so lucky. Yes.
Yeah.
He should be so lucky.
Look, you'd end up being his mom, and he would just be like, Maria, but in like Turkish or whatever. So like Maria, but Turkish accent. And then just being, and then you're
completely like, Welshed on that bit, the accent.
Here's your chicken nuggies, honey, and they're homemade.
No!
Well, look, you're Greek, he's Turkish, it's spicy. A little bit of genocide in the mix. A little bit of occupied.
Jesus, no! Stop!
Didn't you just say okay. No politics?
But the Turks and the Greeks, that's like a joke at this point.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, continue.
So, we're going to be talking about the comments. I did ask Maria and Katie if they wanted to see any, but they're both really busy, and I basically run this channel and rule it with an iron fist.
I really wish I had. I just, God, no time.
If you guys want to paraphrase one you guys remember or something like that, that's also fine.
Well, I'll have it open, and at some point, if I see something I like, you know.
Okay, so I am going to share my screen, but everyone know that maybe there's some stuff on my screen that I didn't mean to be there, okay? And that actually it was like an ad or spam or something like that. And it's not actually me, okay?
Okay, it's fine, William. They can see nothing.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
I desperately wanted to see something interesting. You have what? Can confirm Turkish men are mostly babies. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly a very just common thing. Men tend to not be
apparently
babies,
Greek
but
men are too,
kind of,
according to Maria's cousin.
It's kind of an ethnic thing in that sons are treated a little bit differently. Even like Hispanic is like that, but we won't get into it too much. Someone hacked your computer again, Will. You know, it's that they really are into some weird stuff. I don't know
guys,
what's going on with that.
65 people. Hi.
Yeah, whatever we do,
it's
actual
Patreon.
I know.
Yeah.
So last time I looked at the number, like 5 minutes ago, it was 35.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Did y'all, okay, really quickly, Eddie Bow says, did y'all try to attempt to rewrite Brandon Sanderson's Mistborn? I actually think that would be interesting to do, but I think we probably won't. There's often rewrites that would be interesting, but we just don't really want to do for one reason or another. These Violent Delights, I think, would be a lot of fun to do, but I just don't want to get canceled.
Why? What was happening with These Violent?
It's set in
1920s Beijing, I think.
No, I thought it was a different.
Oh,
I thought
that
it was Shanghai.
One. The one you told me in the parking, yes, right outside your house, that there was all these missed opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the problem is, it was written by a Chinese American. I think she was Chinese American or Chinese Canadian, one of those.
Yeah.
And she was writing a story, and I think it was Shanghai. I think it was 1920s Shanghai. Romeo and Juliet. And the thing is, we risk trying to write a person of color's.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So cultural things missing.
Yeah, I don't want to touch that. There are absolutely ways that I think that, like, if the author had come to me and been like, "Do you have some advice for my story?" That on a story structural
is that
level,
how they sound?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Queen of impressions. I have right no here. Problems doing it, but I also just don't want to have to deal with negative comments. Yeah. And that's
and
literally
that's
just
honestly,
it. I think it's fine, but it's whatever.
That's one of my problems with with doing Mistborn rewrite is we have done really well with the Sanderson fandom not coming for our scouts.
I've actually noticed in the last week or so, we've been getting more dude bro comments that are kind of not exactly negative, but a little bit negative. So I think we might be drawing the ire of some Sanderson fans or Sander fans.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's enough people that love the book as it is that too, and it's not like, because like, when we obviously did Savior's Champion, it was, and like Savior's Sister, that was an easy rewrite, you know? We knew what we were doing, we knew what the thing was, and we had a staunch, it's funny, someone just commented, I'll shout out this comment, there's a point at the beginning of the Savior's Sister video where I'm like, listen, if you really love this book, maybe
I have that
video for you. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
On that note, real quick, somebody asked, I might have missed this, but are you guys reading all notable comments or just comments you got this year?
Oh, we're just doing some notable just comments recent. In the last like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Go ahead.
We'll continue on a weekly basis commenting to one or two comments that we see that we'd like to expand upon.
Again, sometimes a lot of the comments are like either agreeing with us or saying a thing, or sometimes it's just like there isn't really anything to respond to without getting into an argument that we already dealt with in the video. Also, very quickly, for those comments of these that are going to be kind of negative, please do not go and respond to that comment. I do not want to turn this into like a not doxing, but bullying? Just
bullying, yeah. Basically. Yeah,
I'm let's very
dogpiling.
Dogpiling is the word I'm looking for.
Piling. Listen, yeah. People make, and I understand. Sorry, I dropped something. I understand when some people see our videos, and sometimes, especially when we're getting on like tangenty, which Will and I can tend to do, why some people's hackles are going to be raised and why they can make, you know, comments that don't come across. Because there are people who are like, I disagree with you, but I'm going to talk about it commonly. And then there are the people that are coming from their feels. And like, that's fine. I feel like everyone I know at some point has said some shit out of their mouth because they're coming out of their feels. And so we don't want dogpiling. And we're just here to engage.
Yeah.
What I mean by the no bullying.
Well, okay,
is...
so. Sharpest Ravenclaw says, Katie, it's not bullying to comment to these people. I'm only saying, what I would say is that I agree. But the thing is, when you have as a human, when you have suddenly 100 people commenting on a thing you said, that is psychologically really difficult. We just don't know how to deal with it. And you can get defensive and it can be kind of a little,
let me tell you, I commented on a Reddit thing one time and all I did was like support a child not being abused. And let me tell you, some crazy woodwork stuff came out and it was just like intense. And I got off of Reddit and didn't go back on for a really long time just because people wouldn't stop bothering me.
Yeah. It's a thing our brain is not really set up to do in the internet age.
Yeah. And PG King just said, things can snowball really fast in comments.
Oh my gosh,
especially, and I've seen it before where someone makes a comment and then I'm reading the thread and like at some point someone misunderstood a comment and now suddenly it went from being a discussion to like swords at dawn. And
also, to be honest, if I actually genuinely thought any of the comments that we're going to go over were rude or in bad faith, I would have blocked them by now. I'm not going to dunk on any of the comments that I think were really gross, like the ones on Iron Widow where people got really weirdly racist.
We generally, like Will said earlier, for those who weren't here, if a comment is legitimately just rude or hurtful, we just delete it. You guys don't end up seeing it. And so the ones that we have left, you can just assume that we are fine and we are willing to engage with that person if we so choose. Okay?
Right. Yeah, I actually try to get to them before Maria can see them, but she's like my mom and checks the comments way too much, so it's hard to.
Lindbergh said something. Wait, where is it? There it is. I read a hilarious comment on the Mistborn. Their conclusion was basically that we read the book. Well, not me, but you guys read the book.
I actually know which one they're talking about. There were a couple like that. And again, I didn't think they were engaging in bad faith or being particularly rude. So I left it, even though I just don't agree with it at all.
I always miss out on the super controversial books. Gosh, dang it. Like literally every single one that it's because they're all big. They're all always big. No, they're not. Mistborn was just particularly chunky.
To be honest, I did not think Mistborn was going to be as big as it was. Also, House of Salt and Sorrow that you and I did, that one ended up blowing up a lot.
That one did really well. It was like our number one video for a while there.
The one we did, by the way, if you're here, go watch our last video. I really like it. I think it's a really good video.
It's really good.
A
Guest in the House? I don't watch. I'm very busy at the moment, and so I don't watch a ton of our videos at the moment. But I was watching it because I wasn't part of it. So I like watching those, and it was just like the energy Katie and Will had was fucking incredible.
We were in love with the book. That's why.
And I liked that you guys showed because it's a comic, which we don't do. We haven't done one since ye old old.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so, they hold up the screen, you get to see things, and they talk about how the imagery is being worked, and how, like, seeing something. I mean, I thought that comment you made, Will, about how it's sometimes hard to not read the text or look at the picture before you have to do it all at the same time, which is something I learned very young to be able to fly with. And I'm like, oh, that would completely ruin some pages. And I thought it was really interesting that one page where it was all just pictures, the throat part.
Yeah.
I
love that scene.
It's
anyway,
such a good video.
You guys should all go watch it.
It's done nothing. I think we're at like 500 views on that.
And it's 700 views.
It's so bad.
No, it's not going to get anything, but I hope Emily Carroll gets a few little bites on her, on her book, and she gets a little extra viewage because she deserves it more than almost anyone I know.
And please go watch it. Those kinds of videos are pleasure videos that we do because we just really like it, and people are always like,
speaking of
bad books.
Thank you to all of our patrons, and you should go join our patron Patreon, because that is what allows us to do books like that. Like, because we're a small channel, but we have those patrons, we're able to go do books that we find interesting, and we're not just chasing the newest books or the ones in the algorithm. Me and Maria are rereading The Keys to the Kingdom by Garth Nix, which we'll do terribly, but it's a series we really wanted to cover again. And so we get to do cool stuff because of that. And so go join that, support independent journalism.
Yeah.
Anyway, we need to go ahead and get to the actual comments.
It's been 19 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we've answered some comments, which is good. Okay, let me get to...
Did you notice, Will, everybody's been calling you a weeb lately, and I'm so pleased. All because I made the joke because
well, because in the thing I called you a dweeb for reading comments, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's not now," which is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so do you want to read this first one, Maria? I shared the document with you, so if you go to your actual computer, you can also find it.
Okay. I appreciate the disclaimer in the beginning. I used to think I had some kind of obligation to watch critical videos of the things I like, but in the end, it just makes me not enjoy something that I enjoyed before. It's really not that deep in the end. And this is something that I truly
This is on the Save Your Sister.
Don't it, like, if you are not if you really enjoy something, I've said this before, don't let it steal your joy from you. Now, there are the people who are like, nah, I want to, like, there was one that was literally like, fuck you, I'm gonna watch it anyway. I love that energy. But also, if you don't, like, there were people who were like, I don't know, they were scared to watch the Piranesi video because they
I just think that's so funny that everyone's like, oh no, they're coming for mine.
But
same thing happened with a couple of other ones.
That makes a lot of sense, though. It's because, do you guys remember, Maria, I think I voiced it to you in particular, but a couple, like a while ago, there was like, I talked to you about some book or something like that, where I'm like, this book is like, it's like a religious experience to me, and I hate that other people also share that same experience.
It was Gideon. It was Gideon the Ninth.
That one. And I was upset.
She was upset that we had to talk about it, and she had to express this religious experience.
I didn't
want to
think about it critically. I just wanted to enjoy it at its bare. That's one of the few books that we've done that I was just like, I don't want to talk about this book. I just want to read it. I just want to reread it several times. So I get that. That makes sense. And then also somebody asked, will you guys have a special video for 10,000 subscribers?
Oh, absolutely. 10,000 subscribers was the number. I haven't spoken to this about Will or Katie, but I'm telling you right the fuck now, we're doing it, because 10,000 subscribers was the number I had in my head when we started this podcast, where I was like, if we could make it to 10,000 subscribers.
At least. No, that was not me.
We'd have done it. And I remember saying it, and Will was like, and Katie was like,
I was like, maybe 2,000, maybe 2,000.
And then literally, like, a couple of months ago, I said, I'd done some calculations based on how many subscribers we were getting a month. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Will, based on this number, if we continue at this rate, we will get to 10,000 subscribers in 15 months. And we've done, like, it hasn't been 15 months. This was a couple of months ago.
Been like five.
I have to give props where props is due. Fourth mic.
Thorthling, son.
Helps push those numbers up. But we're so close, and I'm so fucking psyched. So yes, we will absolutely do something.
I will leave it to Maria to decide what.
Wait, talk to me, Maria. I want to help with the plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, everyone, I apologize for, because I know it's a consistent issue, my camera going in and out of focus. Guess what? Getting a new camera won't happen anymore.
That's true. What I want to say back to that comment about books, I actually think, and I wish I did this, I could engage with criticism of things I like less. I can't do that. It's sort of like when I see something horrible on the internet, I have to search and look at it, no matter how bad it is for me to actually do. I think that would be a healthy skill. And also, a lot of times, what I am advocating for in those roast videos is not that you I am advocating that the book is bad. And if you like the book, despite it being bad, that's okay. But don't claim that it's good. That's kind of what I'm arguing. I think we all have trash tastes at times. I know I certainly do.
Oh,
and
I do.
So
I think like Fourth Wing for a hot second.
Okay, I am judging Katie a little bit.
Look, I allowed a lot for that. I don't know anybody go back to that. Look how I'm quite supportive of her as an author for a good while until we dive a little deeper.
I know. I said to myself, Katie and I discussed Fourth Wing the night before, and I was like, we're going to start talking about it in the video, and then she's going to go, yeah, you're right, actually, and start saying stuff. And I was like, so it's fine. She'll get on board eventually.
Yeah, I just was, I was allowing quite a bit. Yeah.
But back to what Will was saying about the comments, I agree, but I also think, like, what people think is good is also, like, unfortunately, like, I was having a whole debate with Steven about, like, objectivity and, like, what that means, whether it's, like, a cultural, if there is a universal, and it's fine. And it's just one of those things.
Like, we'll get into that more later. I do think there is, but go ahead.
I'm one of those people where I, in the initial glow of liking something, I don't go for the criticism, but then afterwards, once I've like chilled, there's that, the like, once the honeymoon period like has settled, I'll go and I'll look at the criticisms of something, and I find for me it actually helps me focus in on, like, either it helps me hone my arguments to be able to say, no, I don't think that that person understood this thing correctly, or to be able to go, yeah, but I like it anyway. And so I do engage with a lot of stuff, but if you ever want to just skip out on one of our videos, feel free. Don't. And I will never be nasty.
Oh yeah, obviously. And then what I was going to say is also, I think there's not, when it comes to, like, obviously themes or character portrayal per se, it's because I feel like that's like super subjective, but there, I, as far as prose goes, there is a certain, I think, within like subcategories, right? So for example, Will and I did a Hemingway thing. Hemingway does not write like Terry Pratchett, but both of those people have solid foundational writing skills that, like, check off the boxes for things that accomplish what the writer had in mind. So if that happens, and it happens on a level where it's readable and it creates whatever it is that it was supposed to create, then it's successful. So, I mean, okay, William S., I know.
We'll get into this more because there's another comment later on that talks about objective versus subjective taste.
Interesting.
But we'll talk about it more. But for right now, I think it's fine if you want to skip out on one of our videos. It's not mandatory that you engage with criticism of the thing you like. Life is tough. It's funny sometimes, like, if I'm watching TV at night and they have, like, a Humane Society ad with poor dogs on it, I'm like, no, I am trying to get through life. Why are you doing this to me? This is the end of the day. Hey, I vote appropriately. I do not want to be guilted into this.
I vote appropriately. Hey, side note before we continue, though, there was this question before.
Oh, are we still promoting the new authors? Yeah, nobody wanted to do it for Guests in the House, though, which is good because that book does not have a lot of views on it. We're still doing that.
Three or four at this point that have the three with ads in it.
Also, the person who got me to read it, Will forgot to put in Vivaldi's Spring, and that was supposed to sell the rich Persian bourgeoisie, or however you say it,
bourgeoisie.
Vibe. Yeah, vibe. And so I'm so sorry that missed out. That was going to elevate the entire ad. But nonetheless, I hope that was a good enough for you, whoever you are.
Also, Will... funny. At some point, someone sharp as Ravenclaws made a comment that the Cyborg Tinkerer video on Spotify has some pieces missing and the audio is kind of bad. So we might just want to look into it.
Interesting.
That.
I'll take a look at it.
Also, one other thing that tickled me real quick.
The camera is a character
on the pod. Katie, you have to leave it up while we read it.
I'm sorry.
The camera is a character in this podcast, and Katie is about to complete her character arc by killing it.
Yes, that's exactly very funny. It. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay, next comment. Let's see. Nope, Maria's gone in that one. This is the one I want. Okay, so one thing I learned from these almost 2.5 hours is that Katie and Maria really should unionize against Will.
Poor William.
They should, but they won't. I am a socialist, but in this regard, long live the business owners. I am a small business owner, and I will treat my employees
as... No, you are Marie Antoinette. You are Marie Antoinette, and we must behead you.
I prefer bread to cake, so I cannot be Marie Antoinette.
Fair enough, I guess.
Good French bread is, oh my God, I could die.
We are well aware, sir, with your bagel consumption.
I love bagels, too.
Will eats them like he's a factory.
I have a carbohydrate problem.
Yes. I would like to say that if you watch the video that Katie and I did by ourselves, we can't do it by ourselves. Because even though the video was excellent and Katie and I fucking crushed it with it would never get edited and posted on anything if it was just Katie and I. We cannot unionize.
Yeah, no, Will's like all of the, he's the puppet master that's like doing all the little like machinations in the background. He's literally the only reason we have a we're only here for the ride. Like,
I am the power behind the throne, as they say. Okay, and then the next one was, oh, this is on the Dune sequel video, and it says, lol, explaining a book you didn't understand yourself. Okay, so the thing about it is that...
Wait, which one was that one? Was that the Dustborn one?
No, that's Dune Messiah, that's the sequel to Dune.
Oh, okay, yeah. I couldn't tell from the title.
The thing about it is that I think when it comes to criticism, there's often an Emperor's New Clothes kind of situation where people don't like to admit that something didn't make sense because they feel like somebody else is going to jump on them for being dumb, for not understanding it, and so people then tend to not criticize it. I think, and this is, you know, I say that because that's an insecurity I have sometimes, but if a book is confusing, you should say it's confusing, and people should not be as superior because they understood and you did it. And in this case, I think that book genuinely doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think it's fine to review a thing even if you didn't necessarily understand.
It's also boring. It was really? So short and yet boring. Like and then there was the weird thing with his sister. Like, I remember way too much of that book for, like, it just...
Now, that being said, thanks. I really did like the scenes you showed me.
But that was in the first book. The first book is
You guys are talking about the second one.
Yes.
That I understand.
The sequel. Because the first book was, compared to the second one, markedly better. Yeah. Though every once in a while we get a comment on the first book video at my takes about some of the stuff, which is hysterical. But I didn't like it. I think the first book is superior and it was confusing and it was not clear and it was long yet so short.
And, you know, maybe there are, you know, those hive mind higher beings that can understand it, but nonetheless, that's still a flaw to the public.
Phoenix says, and if a book is confusing, that's on the author. The author's supposed to be understandable. Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with this. This is a thing where, like, you can't blame your reader for if you didn't explain something correctly. There's a generally accepted Overton window of understandability, and you can't then complain when somebody doesn't understand a thing you wrote when it's your job to write it clearly. Mm-hmm. I that's the thing, is I see that a lot. People will defend the book against what they call, like, dumb readers, and I don't think that's really
that's
as valid
fair.
As people think.
And that's fine. Like, again, like, if there's a niche audience, like, and there are references that people don't understand or something like that, but that's what you intended for it, that's still very, you're limiting your audience, but if that's what you wanted, go for it. But that doesn't make it any more readable.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't think so. Also, some people are saying that American French bread is basically an unlabeled cake, and in Europe it's considered a cake, and I agree with that. It's true. American stuff is way too sweet.
Oh, you mean like white bread and that type of stuff? Because that's like basically sugar bread.
Yeah, it's basically, American food is way sweeter than it should be. I think it was, I don't know, some bagel place in Ireland had to relabel itself as a dessert because, like, the Irish government was like, this is just too much sugar, guys. It's also worth pointing out European sugar and American sugar are different. European sugar tends to come from corn syrup because of a lobby, and European sugar comes from beets, I think, because it's the most European thing in the world, and theirs is a little bit healthier. But yeah.
Hysterical. Someone made a comment that I thought,
where was it?
There's tons of complicated books that make sense when explained properly, but I think part of the thing is, like, if two readers, so I don't want to say, like, at a certain point the explanation, like, helps absolutely and can bring richness, but if a reader doesn't get it on their own the first time or after a second read on their own, that is again on the author as part of, like, and what is your audience, who are you trying to engage with? And I think it was Laura B.
I think it depends on what your intent was too, because think about, like, Dante Alighieri, or however you say his name, right, the Inferno. Nobody understands all those political references, but when you research it, it has a lot of depth and meaning to it. But that almost seems like that was a publication for himself, even though it wasn't. It was to make.
No, I think during his time period, the other elites would have understood. He was writing for like other academics and other like politicals and like educated people, and they would understand. We don't. You can take a very educated person who is absolutely not familiar with the politics and issues of the time, and they will not understand it.
And it's not readable, but it's still like, but that was the purpose of it. The purpose was to do that thing.
Well, and so, yeah, and the thing about it is I think also a book can work on multiple levels where you read it once and you enjoy it, and then you go back and you're like, oh, these are all the little Easter eggs. My problem is when it's just Easter eggs. And the other thing to remember about like the Dante thing and Shakespeare, you see this a lot with Shakespeare, actually should not be complicated to understand. What happens is that you're essentially reading a different dialect of English. It's like if you were reading a book written in like a Jamaican patois. It's a different dialect because it's English has had so much semantic drift since back then, and so it's not necessarily, though obviously he's very good with wordplay and all of that stuff, it's you're kind of reading a book that's not entirely in your language, and that's why people have trouble. And then that gets into the ideas of like the intended reader. So, you know, in Iron Widow, everybody was like, you dumb Americans, why don't you know about this obscure Chinese empress? And I was like, this book is marketed in English and to Americans.
But even knowing, I'm sorry, the more I researched about her, the more pissed off I got by the book. Like, characters had random, like, people who were, like, in the actual history just got random arcs in different positions. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, the more I researched, the less I liked it. So, bridges.
Okay, all right. Next one. This one's a little self-aggrandizing, but I think it's something worth pointing out. It was on our
Roasting Not Good for Maidens. I was so angry I didn't say that. I was like, damn it, why is he so clever?
At one point I said, clocks don't have gears they don't need. And then they said that was a good comment. I'm not going to read it because it's going to
It is a really, no, but no. When I saw that, I literally rewatched the entire video until I got to that point just to see that point, what the discussion was about. No, but that's a really good, trim the fat, you know?
A lot of the books we've read, I've liked because they don't have weaknesses. Sabriel is exactly the book it wants to be, and there's nothing extraneous about it. Piranesi, that is a, well, no. Up until the end part is a very clean book, and so therefore it doesn't have a lot of faults. I think books that are large and Guest in the House, that's exactly, yeah, there is no fat, even the weird like Canadian money problem thing that was going on, that ties back into the plot. If you cut out the extraneous things, it makes your story more focused, and it means there aren't things that don't work.
What was that book we read? Godkiller?
Godkiller, yes.
Yes.
The one with, that,
yeah, that one was super, like, it had
I wish
issues.
I had read that with you guys.
It was such a good book. I keep telling you, you should read it. It was also, for the most part, the ending, but for a lot of it was just, they really trimmed the fat off of it.
It feels polished. Like, you know, like, some people can go over their work and never trim that because they become too attached to it. And, you know, I understand that. And if you don't want to get rid
Rothfuss.
Of it. Yes. And if you don't want to get rid of it, that's totally fine. But know that by making that choice, instead of having a opal in a beautiful setting on a beautiful golden chain necklace, you're going to have a geode, a rock. And it's not going to be polished. And it's still going to be pretty in some places, but it's still going to be rough around the edges.
So, like, when I'm video editing, one thing I'll often do is when one of us talks, another one will be like, mm-hmm, or yeah, or oh, Will, you're so handsome. And usually I cut those out because it's what I refer to as noise pollution, which is, like, it distracts people from what they're what the other person is saying. It's just it's noise and you don't need it. It should be cleaner. The exception to that was when me and Maria did the Warhammer books, where I always left in saying, oh, yeah, no, I agree with that because I didn't want weird Warhammer fans to be like, why is a girl, like, they don't understand Warhammer. Though we never got any Warhammer fans on that, so it was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, I think cleaner, and there's a certain charm to something that's sprawling and messy, but I think in general that has to be done deliberately, and too many people do that because they are messy, not because they're trying to be. Mm. Okay, so back to this. Okay, this is on the editing chapter one of The Savior's Champion.
Oh, this one. I remember this one, yeah. I have a lot to say on this, but go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead and read it.
Okay. The chapter is pretty bad, but I think you guys went a bit overboard on the nitpicky side of things, to be honest. The time you spent on the, quote, nice to see you too, quote, was completely unnecessary, for example. I get that the writing is bad, but the nitpicking on completely passable things made it seem way worse than it actually is, and my initial response to this is, that's the point. The yeah. whole point was to line by line deconstruct on a like maximized scale. That's why we nitpicked it. It's because we wanted to discuss every single tiny baby detail in a very short span of time.
Or and I think that the point of the video is lost a bit. And I think some yeah. people, if they don't understand. So what the critique streams are, which is what Katie and Will did that day, is how to improve your writing by analyzing writing and looking at either what it does well or how to do it better. So this person hits it on the head. Some of it was fine. But why have fine when you could make it better? That is the point. They're not, mm-hmm. it's not like us when we're just reviewing a book and talking about it. They are going in at a micro level to look at word choice, yeah, micro level. Tone, how Katie will talk about the grammar and how that plays into things. That is the purpose of those videos. So yeah, they're going to go line by line. And even if something is fine, they're going to try elevate it. If something is great, they're going to tell you how. Please go look at the Hemingway video.
That's actually solid critical video. Yeah. I wish I could send it to my old professor and be like, look, it came in handy.
I think the critique streams we're really good with those, honestly. I think those are underrated by us even.
They're fantastic and they are worth it. If you are a writer, it is worth joining the Patreon for those alone once a month as it is. They are absolutely useful.
Yeah,
I'm not a part of it. I'm just a fan.
I need to edit the last like three. I haven't edited the promos for them. But yeah, Maria's completely right. The reason every tiny thing can and should be critiqued in writing. Now, in the editing stage, in the writing the first draft stage, you should not be thinking that much about it. God. I have the problem that I think about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And going back to the clocks without gears thing, like in Iron Flame, one of the quotes at the beginning of the chapter is like, you should not wake a dragon or something, don't wake a dragon up. And I'm like, there should not be up there. It should be don't wake the dragon, because up is just not a word you need there. It's not adding anything. And that, again, is the one word and it seems minor, but it actually things it like that can pile up. Yeah,
it does. And funnily enough, let me tell you, Maria, William, tutoring for the ACT in the grammar section and redundancy and wordiness has really pointed out to me how annoyingly wordy most things are.
Yeah, it's true. It's people. And the thing is, it slows it down on a moment to moment basis. Yeah. Going back to video editing for a second, one of the things I do a lot is cut out silences when between each of us talking, and like just little gristle words here and there. And it doesn't make a big, like, for the video as a whole, I maybe cut out 2 minutes doing that. But on the moment, it makes the whole thing flow much faster and smoother.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next one is for me. So this is on when we were critiquing our own writing, and for background, the story that I had everyone critique was about like some Russian mechs in World War II.
Yeah.
It says, lol, can't write fictional story about Russians because modern day real life conflict make it make sense.
What does that mean?
So they think it's dumb that because one of the things I'd mentioned in there is that I started the story like 5 years ago before the whole Ukraine thing, and mm-hmm. now I feel a little uncomfortable writing it because of the Ukraine thing. And the thing about it is that books are read by people in this world, not the time period they're set in. And so they have connections and meanings and interpretations that have to do with the modern day, and the things they can valorize or not valorize or humanize or not humanize are important to what's happening today. The way the Russian military is in Ukraine today is just beyond awful, just awful, just terrible. And so if you read a story that even if it's set in like an analog World War One, you're kind of going to take those inferences to the modern day, and also you're not going to be able to read that without thinking about the modern day. Maybe not something I was very comfortable dealing, like facing fine. Head on, in the same way that like if that story was about France France hasn't been to war since like World War II, so it's like there just isn't the same inferences drawn. And I think that's a thing a lot of people don't understand, is that books are written for this world, not a different one, and you have
And
to engage with how
also,
readers engage with it.
you weren't saying that the thing that I fundamentally have an issue with here is you are perfectly within your right to be like, I am not comfortable broaching
Comfortable.
that at the
Yeah.
moment. You didn't say you weren't allowed to, that you can't do it because of
Yes,
what's
that's true.
happening, which is the vibe that that comic gives off. It's just a level of comfort. What?
Look at the comment.
You guys are awesome.
Look at the name. Look at the name.
Oh,
hi, Jimmy. Co-worker
This
Jimmy.
is one of our
Oh,
friends.
okay. I was like,
I'm
okay.
seeing him tonight at our D&D
Jimmy.
meeting, I think. Anyway, sorry, I got
Okay.
excited. Hi, Jimmy.
Lactotis says context is hard to escape sometimes. Yeah, and that's the thing, is things happen in a context. I mean, and I think what Maria was just saying is totally true. If you're not comfortable writing a thing, don't write the thing just because you think it, you know. I
Also,
think somebody else could write it perfectly well, but I don't know if I could.
I understand that too. It's because I feel very uncomfortable writing about any other culture besides my own. It's because that requires a lot of research, in my opinion, to do it the right way. And unless I'm, so if it's not a fantasy setting, if it's a real world setting
If it's
and
not in
I'm
a trailer
involving
park,
another country or religion,
Katie
you
doesn't
son of a
feel,
bitch.
she's
You
like,
son of a bitch.
I don't
I
understand. There's
know.
not a bunch of pit
You,
bulls.
everyone, I
There's
do not
not.
live in a trailer park. And there's
And
nothing
she
wrong with a
never
trailer
has. I
park.
said your
There's
culture.
nothing
I
wrong
didn't
with
say
it.
where you lived.
My culture. You know what? For all
Yeah, Bud Light.
those all the you son of a bitch. Like you literally you peel open, you cracking open the jar of PTSD right there. You're just like, oh, that smells painful. Let me just crack it a little further. But no,
Go
but
ahead.
no, I don't want to involve myself with something like that unless I'm gonna commit. If I'm gonna commit and then go do a whole bunch of research and ask people and then I'm gonna incorporate that because I want to make it authentic, then yeah, it's all fine. But that's a lot of work. I don't want to just write fantasy. That's easier.
Yeah, and I've become more comfortable, honestly, reading so many books now, writing other cultures, because so many people from those cultures, writing those cultures that we've read on the podcast, have been absolute trash. And so I don't really feel bad about it anymore. But you know, I do think there are.
Given the political climate.
Yeah, and again, what people are saying and thinking, and just it has to do with that. And so I just wanted to address that, and I think that's something that actually kind of comes up a lot in our reading. This was just an interesting comment, because it's something we kind of missed. This is the kind of comment I kind of want to highlight more often. I'm talking about Piranesi. I think this book was a tip of the hat to portal fantasy, especially Narnia. The Other Doorways is a homage to The Many Pools and The Magician's Nephew, and Mr. Tumnus is on the cover, for crying out loud. And I think that's actually a really interesting point that I just didn't think of. But yeah, it is
And
kind of a what if you actually got stuck in a fantasy world through a portal?
there's also the like Mr. Tumnus and the lantern, like that light lamp post
Yeah.
in the story itself. So yeah, and I think that would have been really interesting to look at all the references it has to portal fantasy stories. But again, that was just something we completely missed. And this is why we like to bring stuff up.
I'm gonna mute myself. My mother-in-law's here picking up the animals. Hold on a second. Continue.
And that's her. The dogs are being totally silent. Get it? Because like, but yeah, that's actually kind of the kind of thing I want to highlight more. And if we do little videos of these, is sometimes you guys just have really good points that like I didn't think of, or you state something. Oh, thanks for the $2, Phoenix. Seeking replacement for the tragically lost Will. I've actually thought, because I'm just morbid about what you guys would do if like I ended up dying with the podcast, and I was like, they could do it. They would just turn it into like a live stream podcast. It would still work.
No, I would hire someone to edit the videos. What are you talking
No, you guys could just do live streams then and keep all the money
No.
yourselves.
Oh my
No,
gosh, no.
I work at a
I would end up
significantly lower rate if I had to be
I would just
hired to
end up
do this.
doing it, but the problem is then I'd have to quit my day job, which wouldn't be much of a loss currently. But with the
Oh,
potential of what might happen soon, might be
Maria,
worse.
does Katie have a an editing service that she
Oh
offers?
my God, Jesus
I,
Christ.
you know what? I think William, I think she does, and I think it's called Beta
Beta
Reading
Reading by Katie, yeah.
by Katie at gmail.com.
Yes, that's
it's
correct.
So weird. It's like she's really insightful, and it's not that she'll just criticize something.
Oh my god, this makes me so uncomfortable.
At any point in the writing process, she'll talk you through it. She'll spitball with
you.
Actually,
that's the fun part.
Brainstorm. Yeah, she's do developmental editing.
I mean, honestly, if you just want to talk,
beta reading.
Yeah, honestly, if you just want to have a video conversation, okay, look, I'm not a therapist, but if you just want to actually spitball for like concepts that you're doing, that's really hard to do on your own. I mean, I'm currently trying to create a D&D character, can't for the life of me actually create it on my own for some reason, so I'm going to rely on Maria to help me, to help me come up with a thing. So did you really, Soto? I have not been on... Oh God, I haven't been on Discord in ages. Hold on, I'm
Katie
not
is
go
bad
back
at
on.
So.
Oh, sorry,
please
my bad.
Email Katie. Katie,
yeah,
type
email
your
me.
Email into the chat. Email okay, Katie. Here. She's not on Discord regularly. It is a no. Always email.
Sorry,
she's
guys.
Very good about getting those and replying.
I am.
Those.
I'm actually neurotic right now. There's a young lady who's 17 who's been waiting on me to get back to her. I'm just giving her a little bit of stuff. She's been.
Bear in mind,
a hot
Katie. Katie has a backlog. She is what we call a celebrity editor.
Call poor, not poor. Katie's what you call struggling for funds. So she.
I thought you said whore, and I was like, I do
no,
not.
I would like that would be fun. That would be great.
Okay. All right, go on.
Okay, but like in general, just as a theme. But anyway,
okay.
No, but I unfortunately
we'll email.
Had to go more into my day job, so less time for you guys.
We're trying to get it so that Katie can do that full time.
We'll see.
And I also don't love editing as much as I thought I might, so all the
oh my god,
things.
I love editing so much. I wish more people would reach out to me to line edit for just grammar, for the love of god. I mean, don't get me wrong, developmental stuff is great, and I'm there for it, but man, it's so much easier for me. I can just
yeah, so the next section of comments are from the Mistborn video. I was a little bit wary about doing these because Gina is not here, so I feel like it's a little unfair to engage with some of these criticisms or points, because she's not here to defend her side of it. And also, I still feel very strongly about that book, but there were a couple that I thought were worth going over. Also, I only have like 3 or 4 for those, and then we're out of comments, so if you guys want to leave some questions in the chat or something like that, then we can get to those afterwards. This doesn't have to be a super long stream, so, you know. This one, though, I did want to go over just because I thought they put it really well, and I forgot to mention this. And you won't see it because it was on the live stream, not the edited version. I think the reason Allomancy is boring for William and people like me is that, one, there's no deeper thematic element. The powers are a random grab bag with no connection to the central character arcs or the message theme of the novel, with even the use of metal itself being arbitrary. Literally anything could have been used as a medium. And I think that is such a good point, because that is kind of one of the things that fantasy can do really well, and sci-fi to a certain extent, is create a magic system that personifies what the character arc is, what the themes are. I'm not thinking of any good examples right now, but that can be, magic system can really work like that, much more so than just like, oh, this is, you know, we can now bounce up and down. Like, okay, like if magic, you know, takes away a little bit of your humanity each time you use it, that's really interesting. It can play into the themes of the novel, where if it's just a tool, then it doesn't, that's not actually that interesting, unless it's like a cool, interesting tool.
Laura B mentioned Sabriel and the magic system in Sabriel with the bells, and how you are, depending on how you use the bells, there's always a risk that you are going to lose yourself to what you do and like the life expectancy of it. And so it does thematically tie into the story and Sabriel's journey and, you know, her relationship with her father and everything. And so I think that's actually a great example. Thank you, Laura B, for that mention of a magic system that is, number one, very creative. Bells,
mm-hmm.
Using tones of notes.
Mwah! So great. Cool.
And but also not just like that as a creativity, but how it ties into the story itself, that her father is literally lost because of the nature of the magic system they use. It's fantastic. Very great.
You know, the one actually in Nine Fox Gambit, I mean, I have problems with that because it's just not really explained and it's very ephemeral. But like the idea of math as magic and science, I think actually
That's
could
so
have done
cool.
a lot of interesting things. Oh, Katie.
Yes.
Close your ears for a moment because I'm going to talk about, that's right, my favorite series, The Song of Ice and Fire, and I don't need to get drunk. In that one, magic actually very much works by sacrifice. And so that ties into the ideas in the book of sacrifice and blood and what are you willing to do and how can that shape you and hurt you. And so that can speak to, that can get you story, essentially. Like you can draw a story out of that that just wouldn't necessarily be there in a mundane setting. And I think that's one of the things I was missing and I just didn't think to mention in Mistborn.
That's interesting. Yeah, I really wish there was more like alchemical types magic, not out like as in alchemy, but like I've read so many Tony Stark fan fictions where there's math magic and it's so cool. I wish there was more of that, but I guess you would have to understand it a little bit more in order to utilize terms and stuff like that, but
Okay, I have to explain something really quick. Sharp as Ravenclaw says, why Katie has to drink every time you talk about Game of Thrones, Will? It's weird, not in a bad way, but still, it's not Katie specifically. There is a joke that I think Max started it, one of our first patrons, where Will mentions Game of Thrones, and so one of our patrons at some point went, UTT drinking game, take a shot every time.
That's like Will an American thing too.
Fuck.
Just take a shot whenever, whatever. No.
No, you don't have to. You don't
Maria
have
doesn't
to.
Drink, so she just pretends to drink it. Water. Yeah. It's like the second level of the joke to me is funny in that I don't want, like, I like developing jokes through arcs almost. And so the secondary arc of Katie now gets too drunk all the time, I think is funny. And so that's kind of the ongoing.
Well, that happened for a hot second. Guys, I apologize for my decorum on those videos. I am sloppy as hell. Holy shit.
Remember and when Tamlin was lifted Farrah up?
Okay,
with
I actually
the
wasn't
spray.
Drunk during that though. I was genuinely emotionally upset by that. I was not drunk. I was just upset because that
okay,
was awesome.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, I do want to just pick up some a comment that does talk about what we were talking about. The Mistborn systems contrast strongly with the. This is from Phoenix. From the Stormlight one, to use another Sanderson in this regard, where the magic is highly tied to character development and personality through the oath. And that's I think that makes it a little bit more creative, more engaging for me.
Yeah, no, and I think that and you know, not every system has to do that, but I think it's a story opportunity. And one of the reasons that magic system wasn't really interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, okay. If you're going to have a magic system, why not explore it? And also, I hate that at this point. Oh, not that. This one.
Go take a shot. Yeah, now that's the third level joke.
Like,
level.
You guys know, I've shown too much.
Bared her soul.
Yeah.
Anyway. So this next one came out through in like 4 or 5 comments, so I'm not going to show one specifically. And I'm also a little bit weird talking about this because Gina just isn't here to talk about it, but I feel like I understand why she said it. A lot of people had problems with the term neurospicy to talk about why Gina, because basically what happened is in the Mistborn video, Gina said, I'm going to represent the neurospicy community and talk about why the book worked for me. And I think...
And qualify in that statement at the very beginning of the video, she goes, not the entire community, but the ones like me and Steven. So, and we begin to shorthand it throughout the video where we just start saying neurospicy, but she clarifies at the beginning is she's not talking about the entire neurodivergent. And some people just don't like the term neurospicy, which I completely understand. People have different terms they're comfortable. But the neurodivergent community, Gina was in no way trying to monolith it at all. She was talking about her experience as
she
someone who struggles.
She is definitely not that kind of person.
Yeah, no, I think we could have been... I think we could have been more clear about the disclaimer there, but that's I think something that people, you know, somebody said that we should stop treating. I know who person, but I didn't screenshot it. We should stop treating a neurodivergence like horoscopes, which I thought was very funny and a thing that the internet does sometimes. Not Gina specifically, but there is like this weird like, oh, what you know, are you Scorpio or are you bipolar? Like that kind of a kind of thing going on.
The ADHD or the TISM or autism with the ADHD, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like it kind of does become, that is a weird habit the internet has. But in that video, I think, I think Gina was very much just speaking of her own experience and people like her. Because there were a bunch of people who were like, I'm neurospicy and I didn't like it because of this reason.
I agreed with Maria and Will. And I think it just like, And like I, there's a point in the video where I said you could have three different people with ADHD and they're going to have three completely different experiences with it and react differently to it. And so like it is 100% not a monolith of a community, and people like what they like. And that's why I said a bunch of times through the video, it just depends on what kind of reader you are, how you're going to interact with that book, what you want out of it. Like,
it's the same thing as anything else. It's just in that particular realm, she was defining her, like, you know, parameters in her particular realm, which includes that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think usually we contextualize. I mean, I talked about this in Coraline and then in Guest in the House in terms of how my neurodivergency affects my reading of things and how I engage with them. And I think that's, you know, I think that's, I think actually that's kind of an important skill to have, is to understand how you relate to things. And so, you know, we could have given a better disclaimer, I think, but I don't think at all that's what was meant.
Was happening.
Okay, hold on.
I know, I'm reading through the comments.
Well, the thing about it is, like, I don't know, some of these are, like, kind of, not negative, but I don't necessarily want to go too hard on them in a public statement, but at the same time,
well, pick one that you feel is the least.
Okay, so this one I actually did want to go through, because I do think that it's worth talking about. So this is a series of three. The first person says, I'm only partway through, but Gina feels too defensive for this. And the next person says, I disagree. Will and Maria are often way too prescriptive with their opinions. I feel Gina is pushing back against the prescriptive attitude. It doesn't become too glaring when everyone on the podcast are aligned with their judgments about a book, but it sure shows when they have someone on who disagrees with them. That's really what this podcast has always been. Actual personal judgments and opinions, despite Will insisting he is objective always, when really no one can be. And then the next person
Will
said...
Will never says he's objective.
He does.
Well, we'll get. I have, but also,
but not like that.
Well,
say.
The next person says, "I'm honestly really glad someone pointed this out. I'm often one to defend the act of nitpicking, especially the prescriptive kind, because I really do believe that if one can honestly find that many legitimate nitpicks within a story, then those small, seemingly inconsequential things actually do become a problem. Mm-hmm. Yet I really find that most people who do nitpick actually fall into the camp of those who have discovered dozens and dozens of legitimate miniature gripes of the story they're critiquing. I do appreciate this podcast and how it acts as a harsher side of the sliding scale of literature critique, but I also wish they would actually try and critique the story itself as much as they nitpick everything that surrounds it, which I rarely see them do. I get that if the foundation is weak, the story suffers. I really do. Yet I think there's value in allowing a story to be flawed and recognize its triumphs if it manages to balance on that weaker foundation without toppling over. I don't think Will, Maria, and Katie see stories that way, but I wish they would at least try to be a little bit more focused on the meat of the story rather than going nitpicking, scavenging, all while pretending to be objective in their notice of issues. Okay, so I think there's two things to talk about here. One is the idea of subjective versus objective, and the other is the value of the real meat or not nitpicking. I kind of wish they had actually defined what the real meat of a story means to them, because I'm not actually sure what that means.
I think I know. I think, well, I'm assuming I know. I don't really know for sure. But mm-hmm. I thought that meant, as soon as that said that, I was like, are they talking about, like, not the plot beats and not the thing, but like a bird's eye view of whether or not it was a good, original, fun, interesting story? Is that what they're trying to say? Like as in, like, literally describing, like, so for example, movie summary and whether or not that summary works or something, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure, because I mean, the thing is, we do talk about structural issues a lot, we do talk about thematic issues a lot, and those would be things I consider the meat of a story.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing about it also is that one thing to understand is that these are a long form criticism and pretty exhaustive. So like, if I were writing a 30-minute video essay on one of these, I probably would not include a lot of the things that we include. I'd probably keep the major criticisms, I think, or themes. And again, so I wish they had said that. I think also the other thing is, a lot of the books we read just don't have strengths. So I do kind of understand this a little bit. In the Dune video we did, I do wish I had spoken more about the things that did work for me about it, or the things I did find valuable. Whereas
you said that before.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I got a little sidetracked by just talking about the problems with it. But a lot of books don't have that. A lot of books aren't a dichotomy of really great and kind of terrible. A lot of the books we read are just really terrible and don't do anything particularly well. One of the things I liked about our Guest in the House review is that you and I are actually doing like real decoding of the book itself versus the kind of rudimentary writing rehabilitation. What's the word? There's a word I'm thinking of, but like the rudimentary kind of writing that we're trying to fix in a lot of the books versus talking about like the actual metaphors and themes, because a lot of the books we read just aren't at that level.
So, that's a really good point, though. It's a lot of the books we read are not at that level, so we don't get the opportunity to talk about those maybe bigger concepts or whatever. Like, for example, Piranesi, we didn't talk about structure like too much. We talked about it a little, if I remember correctly, but we talked a lot about like the actual story itself and what happens, didn't we?
So I think this what this is talking about is
really
when we...
sorry, really quickly, Sharp as Ravenclaws, please stop in the comments. Just
why? What's wrong?
They're talking about a thing, and I don't think it's productive at this point. And I don't really want to get into it. So go ahead and say what you were saying, Maria.
So I think it is specifically about when we critique something and whether we are engaging with the story as it, like, is it what it is trying to be versus what we would like it to be. And so I think this is part of it. Sometimes we look at a story and we discuss like what we would have preferred. And sometimes I think for some of our viewers who are watching, we're taking it too far away from what the story is. And instead of engaging, well, if this is where it's going, this is how to get it there better. And I think that's what is being asked of, to engage within what the story itself is trying to be, what the author was trying to get out of it, potentially how to discuss, like, how well does it do that, or does it make it, how do we make it better within that scope rather than a rewrite? One of the people in the chat said that here, I do wish you guys would focus more on what the story is aiming to go for and how good it is at accomplishing it rather than what you want it to be. And that does happen sometimes where we do get a little bit sidetracked, but oftentimes with some of those things, like, I guess the video would be short if I just went, I don't like it as it is. I'm sure some people did and then walked away from it.
Okay, hold on. I got to deal with the thing.
Okay, go ahead, Maria. You and I continue. Come. Let's continue.
No, I needed to do that. Sorry. Thing.
No, I know.
The next thing that I was going to say is actually, okay. So, for example, Sword Heart, I didn't do that review because I just didn't think that book was for me. I actually thought it was pretty good at what it was trying to do. I wish I had done that with Guards. Even, and I have issues with this, Murderbot. The thing about that is that, and one of the things I mentioned there is that the book, I hated it because I went in, I think the book set up the expectation for one thing, and then it wasn't that, and apparently a lot of other people didn't have that expectation. I mean, it's become kind of a meme on the channel a little bit, my hate of Murderbot. I think we do this sometimes, I think other times maybe we don't. I usually try to do this at the very least. Three Parts Dead, for example, that book is... I don't think it's effective at being a paranormal mystery as much as it wants to be, but I think it's very good sorry, I'm still kind of thinking about the other thing. I think it's pretty good at being the fantasy, but the world it wants to portray, I think, is very cool, but I think it stumbles at being a
mystery.
So, I mean, and again, I think in general books can, if a book is trying to be, there are certain cases where I think a book trying to be a certain thing just isn't going to work or is terrible, like Fourth Wing, but go ahead.
Will, we have a very, I like this comment a lot because I feel like it really understands it. That's the format of our reviews. People can check out other reviewers if they want the reviews of that particular aspect of it, but this is the way we've broken down books so we can discuss it in a critical manner.
I do think we do meat and potatoes. I think we discuss overarching themes. And I mean,
maybe on some we're more
structure.
The problem is a lot of people only see our critique videos and like when we're going ham.
That is a good point.
And when we are, when like with Fourth Wing, we don't discuss the over art, like is it being a good, and I made the argument from the, actually I'll defend myself. I made the argument that I don't think it's a good fantasy. It is, and that is me talking about what is this book aiming at being, and I make the argument this is how you could do it, but I argued that it was just our modern world with a veneer of fantasy slapped on it. But if you
That it's not a good version of the school setting. Like, Harry Potter is significantly better at being a school setting book. Or I think Katie also said this, in terms of the tensions that are built in the side things. I'm noticing that a lot in the second book.
Yes. I do think we do that. But I will say, if you look at the books we like or some of the books that we're just lukewarm about, I think we do engage in the way that people want that, that these comments are talking about. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't end up seeing those ones. So like, I'm thinking about like Dustborn. I'm thinking about like, there was this whole stage at the second half of year one where we just did a lot of books that were not terrible and they weren't great, but they were kind of lukewarm. And we did a lot of talking about what is it trying to do and how to get it to the point it wants to be versus books that are bad, where we're often just like, here are all the tiny little ways as we go through the entire plot that it's bad. So I think if people watch some of the other ones, they might find a little bit more of what they're looking for in some of our other videos, but they're just not watched a lot. Like, again, I would argue some of our best videos are the Hyperion videos. Ain't nobody watching that ever.
Oh my gosh, I know. Those are wonderful videos. No, but what I was going to say before is there's also a limitation on what you can potentially discuss. Like, so for the concept of talking about what the author wanted of it and how they could heighten it within that, that's very limited because unfortunately we don't have the author to talk to. I found that like when people so far in my limited experience, but when people have come to me and asked like for help with developmental like feedback and stuff, that I read it first and then I like give feedback, but it isn't until I've spoken to that person online that I can really give them good feedback. It's because then once they explain their motives and what they wanted out of it, then I can understand, oh, okay, so within that realm of what you're trying to create, these are specifically the executions you want to do. So then we can mold it into that image that you specifically wanted to have it for that theme or tone. And there are some things where I'm like, you should take this away or you should add this or blah, blah, blah. I think this would work. Might I suggest type of thing. And they'll be like, I love that though. And I want to keep it. And I'm like, okay, who cares? Keep it then. I'm just telling you as like the feedback as when I'm reading it, how this seems. And they, some writers have like argued the point for something. And once they explain it to me, I'm like, oh, I see why you want that. And then I'm like, okay, then within the realm of that, might I suggest this small change to help enhance it? My dog is going crazy. I'm sorry.
I thought that was your mother-in-law. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Another thing is I think what people want is video essays. I've come to this conclusion after we've talked about this. They want us to do a video essay. They want us to go into the what the author like said about the book beforehand, what the author's feedback have been, and do that level of research. I think that's what they mean. Because I read some comments. There was a Reddit thing about good book podcasts, and somebody mentioned us, and then the person was like, yeah, they're good, but they don't really do enough research.
Is that the one where they were like, the other guy is more erudite? Because I saw that one too.
I think so. I don't remember. This was
yeah, and then I watched the other guy and he actually was not that erudite, but go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, and I think people want it to feel like a video essay a bit more because unfortunately, at the end of the day, we're just talking. So whatever pops up into our head, like I don't got to no notes. I just got what I have what's in my brain. And so sometimes we do miss things. And part of the appeal of our podcast for a lot of people, and this isn't something that I think we set out for it to be, is that we feel like three friends talking about a thing and having a conversation and people like that on top of what we do. But part of that is because we aren't scripted. There are sometimes points that I want to bring up. And then after the video, I'm like, God damn it. I never mentioned it.
Well, I've always struggled in a classroom setting, as you know, Maria. Anytime there is a classroom setting, I can't think. Almost ever. It's not until like I've sat on it for like 3 weeks and then written up a script for myself and then talk. So the fact that I'm even vaguely helpful in some of these gladdens me dearly.
I find that because we do the plot recap, I almost always say a thing. Like early on, up until I think Children of Blood and Bone, I used to write notes for myself. But what happens is I kind of just prompt it by the time we get there. I think that's a really good point, though, that a lot of people, yeah, you're right, want us to talk about what the author meant. And really what we're doing is more like a review than a video essay. And that's why, like, with the Brandon Sanderson thing, we got wrong how many books he'd done before or after. Because I actually don't... It's the whole death of the author thing, which is that I am engaging with the book as a reader. I am not necessarily going to try and find things for what the author was trying to do or not trying to do based off of their extra-textual work. I will sometimes, but not a lot. But I actually do try to avoid reading interviews with the author, because it makes me like the author more too and humanize them. And I don't really want that. The author of Blood and Bone, I hated that book, but like, she's really cute. Like, she's really trying her best. She's really doing her thing. And like, after I watched
trying them, to do afterwards, thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I was like, ugh.
You know what's really cool too is that despite the things that, you know, didn't work, gosh darn, you put a book out there and you did all these things. I know. There was something else I wanted to mention too. What was it? It'll come back to me at some point.
But yeah. And
oh yeah, no. I remember what it was. Can I say it?
Go.
Okay, that's like on the Savior's I think Savior's sister one. It was that somebody was like, why didn't you guys do your research? A scythe isn't used for this. It's this tool or something.
That was the weirdest comment.
I was like, that's hyper specific. I didn't do any research. I wasn't going to do any research on farming tools. We were just doing it off the cuff.
But a lot of people made the point that ancient Greece didn't have sugarcane, and I was like, yeah, it's not even, I think, the correct place for it. But and I think that kind of comes into it. So the other point of that one was talking about our subjective versus objective opinion, and I think that Maria's been very clear that a lot of this is subjective. I think I'm the one with the hotter take on this. If you want to talk about it first, though, I think that's fine.
About which
one? Subjective versus objective opinion. Oh, yes. So I do think that there is, like, for culture for a time period, because you'll notice things that were considered good, like, during a time period that it's written, sometimes things aren't considered as literary classics as they are later, and they've been grown to be appreciated. So, but I do think that there is a general, and I'm going to use Glass Onion as an example, because I think it's, I was watching, there's this one girl who's, woman, I should say, woman, whose videos I watch, and she talks about this. She does a analysis of this one guy who does scary books for, or thriller books for women. Her name's Laura, and I can't remember the rest of it, but it was a very fun video. But she talks about objective versus subjective, and like Knives Out and Glass Onion, same director.
That one. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But,
I get it.
But a lot of people like Glass Onion better, but acknowledge that Knives Out is the better movie on a tightness, on a cohesion of story. It deals with its themes much more subtly and ingrained within the character arcs rather than beating you over the head with it. And Glass Onion is like, let me just have it beat you over the head a little bit. And but it's fun. And there is something just a little bit more. And I'm one of those. I loved Knives Out as a movie. I thought it was a really good time.
I still haven't watched it.
But Glass, you've watched Knives Out. You haven't watched Glass Onion.
Oh. Did I watch it with you?
Yes, and Gina.
Oh, shit. I don't even remember this.
Yeah. But Glass Onion is just, for a lot of people, the one they prefer. And so you can have, and part of it is, like, if the entire, like, if a, the, I, values of your time period and your culture and like the general consensus is this is a good thing, these are the things that make a good thing, and it matches this, you can look at it and be like, ah yes, Glass Onion does a, or Knives Out does a lot of these things, but I just like Glass Onion better. But you have to have the wherewithal to be able to say, despite that I like this one better, I don't think it is actually the better movie. And so it, but it gets really hard defining exactly what the objectivity is, you can have, like, I've fought with people about what the objectively good parameters of literature is before, and like, if they don't agree, then at a certain point I just have to disengage.
I have a very hard time defining what is objective. So I don't even know. I don't think I'm educated enough in that realm to say what could be objectively good. But I do know at the very least what, like, I think I can see through different perspectives for the most part, not always, but sometimes, and understand, like, oh, well, within this realm of this thing, there are these boxes that should probably be checked, and Some of them aren't checked and some of them are.
So that, but that's the thing, Katie. You know what the boxes are. You know enough to know what the boxes are.
I guess.
Those are, no, but that's the thing. Your experience with reading, your experience in a degree program, and your experience engaging with this on a critical level enough, you know what the boxes are.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes, but you have what I have, what I don't have, which is you can know what the boxes are, but just completely enjoy a thing kind of without like the boxes hovering over you and harassing you, where Will and I have, I'm worse than you, but Will is way worse than me with ability to engage with something like that. But you know what the box, that when you know what the boxes are, that's the thing. That's the thing.
So I actually haven't been able to fully follow you guys saying I was dealing with the situation in chat.
Yes.
So I'm going to give my opinion on it, and if I overlap, I'm just sorry.
Video. Yes, that's exactly what it was.
I was about to point that out. I saw that that person dropped the name.
Yeah, so I was referring to Laura Crone's video about Gone Girl and Riley Sager. Anyway, continuing. Go, William.
By the way, Morris de La Paz says, love from the Philippines. I love listening to you guys while doing chores. That's honestly such the compliment that people, because that's how I listen to video essays.
I know, me too. Oh, God, that's so refreshing. Thank you so much for that.
Nice, that's how
palate cleanser. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's how I do. That's how I listen to video essays. I also listen to them at like 125. So when I say, I will joke sometimes that my subjective opinion is objective. And I kind of believe that and kind of don't. Let me give an example with morality. All morality is inherently arbitrary, but I'm spoiler alert. It is, there's no divine anything. But based off of certain basic precepts or axioms, you can then build an objective or unobjective morality. So like, it's good for people to be happy is a basic paradigm. The one of the political streamers I follow always uses the example of orcs from 40K. In orc culture, fighting is good. That is just a first principle good. They would not be able to engage with our idea that hurting other people is bad, because for them that's not true. So their morality house looks entirely different. In writing, and then the other concept I want to talk about is the Overton window, which is a term for politics of what is an acceptable window for politicians to talk about. So like saying like, I don't even really want to give an example because they're all kind of offensive, but like basically there's like, you know, we should nuclear bomb Russia is not an acceptable opinion. That's outside the Overton window of warmongering, and saying we should surrender to Russia is outside also, right? There's a narrow range of acceptable opinions.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I kind of feel, so when I say Overton window, that's what I'm talking about. And I feel with like writing, there is that. Based off of certain basic principles, we can then write a story. And there is correct and incorrect ways to write a story, and there is an Overton window of readers that is sort of like the bell curve, in that there's going to be people at the very end and the very either like a statistical outlier. I talked about this a little bit with comics, in that I'm a kind of a statistical outlier, and that I just don't think I read them correctly. So things that should work just don't for me. So within those, and those will change based off of your intended reader. I go back to Iron Widow. Iron Widow, I think, fails at being, falling within that Overton window for its readers, because most of them don't know about ancient Chinese history. Mm-hmm. A really fascinating comment we had on that one was talking about how it actually kind of belongs to I don't think it's Kick the Dog, but it's something like that, a genre of Chinese literature, which is like a really terrible thing happens to the heroine, and then she goes and does really terrible things to them. And that's just a genre, and this is that kind of belongs in there. And so your expectations of the story are sort of different. I also read an article once talking about how there is an Asian form of storytelling that doesn't require conflict in the way that the West does it. It's about this is the situation. A thing happens that disrupts it, and then it goes back to how it was before, but we now have an understanding of why it was the way it was. Mm. And so, like, that's a fundamentally different kind of arc that may feel unsatisfying for some readers. And I think at the outer edges of the Overton window, I'm much more willing to give grace. I'm much more willing to say something as subjective. For example, Three Parts Dead, I talked about how I like that because I just like world building, but I understand why it didn't work for a lot of people, because if you're not into world building, it's just not as interesting. And the other thing is that, like, I kind of think it's funny to be performatively more. You know, a lot of people have said even, like, they thought my Rage and Rage of Achilles. I do genuinely think that's a bad book, but people who are subjective about it also thought it was funny. So I like to act that up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, he does, like, one of the things I will say about Will is he does dial it up. So while
Oh my God, are you kidding me? He's a ham on here.
He's an absolute. And I think that if people don't know him, they think he's like that all the time. And he isn't. Now, he is like with me when we have he and I used to go hammer and fucking tongs about movies
hammer
or things.
And tongs.
Oh, hammer and tongs. Like, we were just like bashing each other.
There was a portion of our friendship where I don't think Maria understood that I wasn't always being serious all the time.
And I was like engaging with him as if he was being serious. And so hammer and tongsing to the, and like, it was so unnecessary. And at a certain point you just go, okay, William, okay. Fix your face and you move on. Okay. And
to be fair, I could be better about, at least personally, not necessarily on the podcast. I could be better showing and communicating to people
reading
that like I'm just kidding, you know what I mean. Interpersonally I sometimes think have that issue because I just like going like real slow level. But yeah, so I would say that I actually do think within the Overton window and the basic paradigms of good writing that we have, I think there's objectively right and wrong ways to do things. But I also understand that there are certain topics that are more subjective than others. And again, I'm trying to avoid books that I know aren't for me.
Well, that's really good insight, though. It's because what better way to evaluate a book than trying to adapt to describe your views despite you not liking it? That's great. And if you can pick out what does work from that perspective, all the better, because then that author, not that they, I'm saying authors watch our stuff, but like all the better. So that way you can learn how to hone your craft. I mean, I like somebody else's comment on here too. We're not professors, for the love of God. The only person with a high enough degree to be a professor is Maria. And like, it's been a hot second since school. So, you know, I have a day job. I don't got the time to research this stuff. I'm just trying to talk shit about books with some friends.
Yeah. I think that's very true. Is that,
it's a conversation. It's not
so a lot of people like our delivery of things, and so like one of the downsides of that is sometimes it cannot be necessarily clear.
What's the internet?
I mean, the other funny thing is Lily B says, I forget which video it was, but not that one. That's a funny comment. But Miss Ali Snow says, Will needs a warning on the flashing on the screen that says not serious. So one of the things that actually does allow me to, and one of the reasons I don't pull back as much, is because you and Maria are here. Yeah. And so it's clear from your reactions that you know I'm kidding, which models everybody else's behavior. Whereas like if the sexist jokes, I would not make those if you guys weren't here, because it's clear from you guys, you model to the audience, this is how you are supposed to respond.
And this
to
is this. If we're not taking it seriously, then they shouldn't take it seriously.
Will just shortly ago basically called me white trash. I know he doesn't fucking mean it. I know it's a joke. It's an ongoing joke that I actually accidentally started.
Yeah, so just the funny part is that you didn't like it. So I was like, ooh, this is funny.
This is a perfect button to push.
And look, it's the internet, and it's difficult to understand tone sometimes. So I would say that that's more or less my opinion on it.
Yeah. Someone asked really quick how we pick the videos, or the books, excuse me, the books we're going to do. Someone said they decide in the Patreon, I think. And that is true for one of the books we do a month, where the patrons in our book club get to nominate, and then we will limit it down to three, and then they vote from the three.
What book did they make us read, Will, that we hated? There's lots, but there's one in particular where like it's like they read
listen,
it already.
They didn't make us do anything.
I think they did. There was one that was awful, but then there was also the mid-month one where everybody just started reading it after I mentioned I might pick it.
What was that again?
Maria, how do we pick it was Fourth Wing. Do we pick books normally, though?
Will.
What's your part in the process?
Will goes, does this sound like a good book? And I go, yeah! Or, I think that's too niche, which doesn't happen too often, but it's mainly, like, Will be like, I was doing reconnaissance, and I found this book is doing well here, so we're gonna read. And sometimes books are on there, and I have no idea where they came from. Like, I'll just go, Will, what's the next book for next week?
Yeah,
and
no,
go, this is it. And then I go, okay, and then I just start reading it, and
yes,
that's it.
That's so Will has how
books are picked. William, if you have a problem with the books picked, William.
No, that okay, way. Wait.
A Guest in the House is the first book we've done that either of you have been like, hey, let's do this book a lot. And I've been like, okay.
Yeah, besides Hyperion.
No,
yeah. Oh, besides Hyperion, yes.
I insisted upon, I don't insist upon a lot of books, although there are two in particular I would very much like to read. One of them being Rune Marks. But anyway, no, Will has like, Will has done... You guys should really, like, attentive, everyone. William has an entire compendium of subcategories of authors who focus on this, authors who are of this country, authors who come from this, had this language, authors that this is focused on this thing and this thing and this thing. He has, like, a million different categories that he's listed out on all these things. And then, you know, we just go so that we have, like, a nice rolling type of different types of books for the most part.
Yeah, I basically, and the thing is, I know you and Maria's tastes, so I always try to take that into account of what you guys are going to like to read.
Like
it's a combination of, like, I actually thought I would like Sword Heart, too, and then I just was like, okay, I'm finding this woman really annoying.
No, Sword Heart was a Patreon one.
No, I picked it for...
But it was originally, that's how we found that one.
Yeah, that's how originally, and actually that is how I find the book sometimes, is people will pitch them on the Patreon book club, so and I'll be pitching. Like, oh, that sounds interesting, I'll pick that one, and that's happened a couple of times. I go through Goodreads lists sometimes, what books are incoming, which ones are nostalgia ones that we want. For the mid-month books, I'm trying to pick good ones outside of Fourth Wing, because like it's just painful to read mediocre to bad books a lot, and it's hard to know going in, though. Actually, let me look really quickly at our upcoming schedule.
Wait, Valerie, did you like Sword Heart, or did you not?
Valerie loved Sword Heart.
Okay, yeah, I loved
Sword Heart. Oh, yeah, she did love it.
up until basically just that last little patoot at the end. That little patoot at the end, I was like, meh. But everything up until that, I had a fangirl moment where I was washing the dishes, and I forget what was happening. I'm pretty sure it was the pee in the jar moment. And I was like, and then I paused it and walked around in circles for 3 times and then came back and pressed play and kept washing the dishes.
Whereas here, I'll actually
enjoyed it, but had problems. We went
There's obviously no, that's Sword Heart is a wonderful example of how Katie, personally for me, Katie, the person who reads writing and like I'm trying to break it down, the academic side of things, I guess, whatever, editorial side of things, I'm like, oh, that wasn't that great. And then Katie, the reader, who was like, I love this, more of this, I ate that book up like crazy.
So funny. Here, I'll actually show you guys the doc I have. Let's see.
I wish I could like use birth control by just sheathing a sword. You know, and then
that's usually the
magically...
opposite. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the metaphor.
The double entendre, like just shove
that is
the sword,
funny.
And then the sperm dissipates, and I don't have to be on some birth control. That would be great.
This is why we get demonetized if we ever got demonetized.
So this is the way I normally do it. Is I first.
You're revealing so much.
Yeah. This is how I normally set them up, is I set up what week it is, which book we're going to read. There's the mid-month, there's the Patreon, there's critique streams. So in this case, we're doing the comment response video now. We'll do Iron Flame. The reason, and I always put how long the thing is. Iron Flame on pre-order was a different length than the actual order, which is why it says 14, and it's actually like 28 or something.
Yes.
This was the release date of it. This is the Patreon critique stream like that. I also have recorded and then upcoming. Oh, Guest in the House sort of got used. I then just tend to put a bunch of like random books. The newest books I'm looking at, I put here. I have story ideas. I think it'd be funny for the three of us to rank fanfic tropes.
I
think that'd be funny. And then I have short books, bad books, normal books, and then the second bad. Which was just like new ones I picked, I think. Let me see. Recent-ish.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi, meh. Yeah. For a while. So, like, I usually do that. And then lower down, I have more rankings. I used to do a lot of really specific rankings, but a lot of those books were YA. And I was just like, okay, I don't really want to read those. Like, we're trying not to read. So a lot of that is unfortunately defunct now. But, this is how I set it up. I am, for being such a messy person, I'm weirdly organized at times.
Is Shawnee noticed?
I know. That
oh, yeah, that's
I was
what
wondering
I'm
if anybody 2 years.
That, yeah. That's what we called it before we could, before we had a name, we would just refer to it as the podcast for glory, as our attempt to get glory. And then oh, we got God. A name, but he never Science. Changed it.
Science. Oh, God, a court of frost and starlight. No.
I don't think we're going to probably do it. I still have it there because it's shortish, but I kind of think we... I think it's, there's a nice capstone on.
Yeah, I'm very Avatar. Reluctant to read it because I hate one of my biggest pet peeves in any writing. Like, I mean, it might be like number two, if not number one, is when a character gets pregnant and then some dumb plot shit happens afterwards concerning the pregnancy. And then, like, there's issues with the relationship during that. Like, any of that stuff is just so. What's the word? Like, you really want a piece of cake, but instead of just having that piece of cake, you're going to put ice cream and sprinkles and then a piece of pizza on top and then put chocolate fudge on top of that. And I just, it's too much.
Yeah, I just don't think it, you know, and we have Iron Flame now as our next, like, big drawer of people.
Self-indulgent. Thank you, Science Fantastic. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, no, it's... Somebody actually in one of the comments mentioned that basically they think it's just an excuse for Sarah J. Maas to write her kinks, and I'm not
sympathetic to that. There's an audience, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that gets into a larger discussion of, which we've actually talked about in terms of the intended audience.
Making the money. She's richer than us,
but that's not morally good. People who make money aren't necessarily morally good. Okay, that was pretty much the last of the comments. I mean, there's a couple more, but I think that's pretty good, and we're at an hour and 30. Do you guys want to, like, hang out and answer some questions? Or...
Yeah, sure. I think that would be nice.
If you guys have some questions you'd like us to answer, we'll do Q&A for the last little section.
Yeah, I know. That breeder kink is awful, and I'm gonna admit.
Not my thing.
There was a period of my life where I read it, and so did you, you motherfucker. Don't make that face.
No, I didn't. None of my fanfic things were breeder kinks.
I'm pretty sure there was like a Sherlali thing you read once that you shared with me that had a
500,000, and there was at one point where she got pregnant, but like nothing weird. Okay. And like it wasn't a breeder kink. It was more a they didn't want to get pregnant, and then it happened, and then they dealt
no.
With
I'm
it.
Talking about the one where it began, where she's like, "I want your sperm."
Okay, we're not going further into that.
Yeah, I know.
Alpha Omega.
I know. It's the same shit. Anyway, that was a little bit too much reveal.
But again, that's one. Out of all the fanfics I've read, there was one. That
there you go. One's enough. You're part of the group. God. Part of the ship. Part of the crew. Part of the ship.
I think what's funny is that sometimes we'll ignore kinks that the author has because we like the work as a whole. This is kind of like one of those things where it's like if a genre is inundated with. So, Mom, close your ears.
Cool. Okay. But... Mama will. Close your ears, please.
Mama this will,
is,
yeah.
This is adult talk for your son.
But if you've ever looked up pornography, there is a bizarre amount of familial, like, bro and stepsis, this
well,
and
yeah,
that.
Of course.
And you just have to ignore it. Like, if it's not your kink, which it's not mine, it's like, you just kind of have to ignore that part of it. And I think sometimes that's what happens with, like, fiction, is you just kind of have to ignore the things in it if it's too genre, if it's too much of the part of the genre.
Lily, Katie just dreamed down Maria with her.
You read one Sherlali fic by a author you like that happens to be Alpha Omega, and now you're forever cursed.
Wait, we have a couple of questions. So Science Fantastic had asked, what is your favorite subgenre of science fiction fiction? Is that what that is?
Science fiction and fantasy.
Oh, fantasy, excuse me. That's what I meant.
Grimdark. Anything liminal, usually I enjoy. I've always really wanted to read more kind of Conan the Barbarian-esque sword and sandal or sword and sorcery books, but nobody really writes those anymore. And those are also very male-coded, so I don't think they would do well for the... I've tried to actually read Conan, and it's awful. Conan the Barbarian, that is. I would really love if people wrote more like that, but like, cool, I'm a feminist. But Marie, sadly, that's...
So, for sci-fi, I would say more like the cyberpunkiness, and it's not actually cyberpunk, but it's got a campy cyberpunk feel of Hyperion. As far as sci-fi, I like it when it's, I have done a lot of hard sci-fi. Like I've read the Three Body Problem series and that kind of stuff, which I absolutely adored. But I like my sci-fi with a bit of camp, or when the sci-fi is being used to analyze like specific things about humanity as a whole. And so basically all of Ursula K. Le Guin's sci-fi is
which
my
we
favorite.
Need to read at some point.
It's so good. I don't know. She's so excellent. And like, and I much prefer her sci-fi to her fantasy. I think it just works better for me. And then as far as fantasy, I like when it is fable or fairy tale retellings, but done on a like really interesting level. And that kind of engagement. I much prefer smaller, and I've mentioned this before, I don't like the really long sprawling epics where each book could be broken up into four different books. I like where it has a tight scope and a specific thing, and like they start gonna go doing this thing and they're gonna like, and then they do it, and
one might say that clocks don't have gears they don't need. Author Mattiel Manuel says, Katie, would you read Chinese bi translated into English? It's a different type of romance due to the censorship, but it's a plot and lovely characters.
Like, as in, like, for
boy. Oh, I thought you would know what that is.
I think I don't... that's boy love.
Boy love. Oh, a BL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I think, like, you can see, I have an entire manhwa series that I literally bought from, I had to bid for it on eBay because it's not in print anymore. And this was like, well, this was ages ago. I wouldn't buy it now. But first, I don't got money. But second, I just wouldn't do it. But yeah, no, absolutely. But I also want to throw in my two cents.
I was right. It was boy love.
Yes. I also want to throw in.
What a surprise. I didn't recognize that.
The science fiction fiction. Science fiction. Oh my God. Cthulhu Mythos. All of
that. Yeah, that's cool.
Like next dimension horror. I like science fiction when it's horror based. I don't really love science fiction when it's not horror based, even though I'm fine with it. Like, for example, I know you don't like Murderbot, but I love Murderbot. I really, really liked Murderbot to the point where I bought it for my husband for his Christmas present. Because I think he'd really like it.
Did you get an apology for him?
No, shut up. I really enjoy science fiction, though, when it includes basically, like, what is it called again? The not the color purple, shame. It's the movie with Nicolas Cage and
Color Out of Space.
Yes, Color Out of Space. Like, yeah. I really like that kind of stuff where there's horror involved, and I really, really wish we could find a book that involved aliens and like abduction stuff, but it's like horrific. One of my favorite all-time scenes, even though people hate the movie, is
Dark Skies.
Well, that's good, yes, but people like that movie. People don't like Nope.
Oh.
They say it's Jordan Peele's like weakest movie, which I think I'd agree with. But I love it to pieces. I've rewatched it many times. And the scene where they get sucked up into the alien's gullet and it's like they're being digested. What a horrific scene. I want that. And then fiction, same as Maria. I just want folklore twisted into something horrible but lovely. Basically,
One kind of sci-fi I really love is like sci-fi fantasy-ish, like Gideon the Ninth falls into
that's fun.
Nine Fox Gambit falls into that. Warhammer obviously does, which is why I'm such a big fan of it. Lindbergh says, what's happening with your separate endeavors? Maria's sequels and Will's Game of Thrones.
And Katie's Comic
roasts.
Corner that never made an appearance.
Yeah, I think we're all just kind of busy. I know for me with the A Song of Ice and Fire stuff, like I need to go back and rewatch the one I did because I had a feeling at the time that it was not very good, but I don't know if that's true or not. And then I've just been busy. I haven't even had a chance to edit our critique videos into the little section.
Yeah, the little thingies. I know. I was supposed to do an editing short video thing, which I still hope to do one day. I was literally just bemoaning this to my husband 2 days ago, how I don't have time for anything, and then I broke down in tears. Let me tell you, I'm sure all of you who have purchased a home know, buying a house is wonderful, but it sucks. There is so much money right now, America, I'm sure around the world in general, it's because capitalism is on the rise, but it's hard out there making money and paying all your bills and stuff. So I'm just prior, fuck that shit though. Look at this. Oh my god.
So cute. They're both together. They're never together.
They're always so sweet to each other. I love how cute they are. Oh my god. Just shoot me.
Somebody okay, said question? Yeah, sorry, there's a bunch of these, so I'm not going through these. It says, I second the classics question. I love the persuasion review too, and think it would be interesting to something similar. I'm assuming the first one was about whether we do classics. I think the thing about it for us is that we would want to do more research on them beforehand, and that are things, and none of us really have time for that.
It's the persuasion
movie review kept getting moved back because me and Maria kept saying we were gonna look at articles on it, and then we didn't, and then we eventually did. And I think actually that made that review so much stronger.
Stronger.
Yeah, and so
favorite videos.
And so, like, I think I think in general that's one of the reasons it is the way it is.
Raz, I'm so sorry. Yes, we need to do that. What? We did read Carry On. We still need to fucking do a review.
Oh my god, we have to do the video.
Maria, yeah, we have to get that on the schedule. That we'll do that soon. We'll do that shortly.
Well, the thing is, we have to like, I haven't actually read it.
Oh,
it never got put on the schedule, and so I never read it.
It's worth reading, honestly, and there's a lot to talk about.
The one that's
Harry Potter.
It's a Draco Harry. Harry
and Draco. Oh, I bleached my brain so I wouldn't remember. That's why I didn't remember.
No, it's actually, it's, there's some.
No, I don't want to hear about it.
Fine, whatever.
Go ahead. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Wait, there's another one.
But yes, we would like to do classics. It just, I would want to do them in an appropriate way where it would feel a little bit more like a class discussion in a master's class. And that takes extra work.
Phoenix says, Will, as a former moderator, a Warhammer community for a half a decade and much mixed memories on the setting community, the comment early on about weird Warhammer fans hits hard. So, I've said this before and it's far enough in the video for it to be safe. The problem with Warhammer fans is that the Imperium, the main human setting, which everyone likes, is a fascist state. It's a fascist theocratic state. And the setting is sort of criticizing that, like, in setting people know that's not a good, it's not a good thing, but the thing about it is people who like the aestheticism of fascism and fascist ideas then uncritically start to like the setting for that reason, so it kind of draws people in. It's the way that, like, not all teachers are pedophiles, but if you're a pedophile, being a teacher is a really good way to access children. Sorry, that was a little bit harsher than, that's just the one I remember, but that was a little much for, but anyway.
No, but I understand what you're saying through that.
Right, and it's funny because people have said that there's a difference between the fans of the evil factions, like Chaos, which is all like, ooh, self-indulgent and weird. Those fans are actually tend to be a lot friendlier and less gatekeepy than Imperium players, because the Imperium players are the ones who actually, like, are drawn to the aestheticism of it. Arch Warhammer, awful guy, terrible fascist, but he's such a Warhammer fan. So I think that's, and that's kind of the issue, I think, with Warhammer fans. And then it's also just a very male nerd space, and that can fester a lot.
Just like any other sounding hall. Also, reviewing manga. I personally, Maria, I'd drag Maria into that thing if Will didn't want to do it. And I would do that for sure because I have several series in physical form that, and also digital form, that would be easy to utilize as, like, material. But the only problem with manga is that it's long, and I don't feel like it could be a really concise, well-structured thing. The only thing I would consider, if Will, again, is fine with it, Daddy Will, is if it's like a two-part, or, like, for example, the manhwa I mentioned before is 5 or 10 books and that's it, like something like that, and they're short books, so something that's contained like that, just like A Guest in the House. I desperately want to do independent comics because there's some stuff that's won awards recently that is really massively cool, but again, at some point maybe.
Okay, so this was actually a little controversial of a question.
Which one?
Here, let me get it. Katie, will you dye your hair orange again?
What? I wasn't expecting. Why? It did not look good.
No, multiple people said you looked great with orange hair.
Good.
See, meanwhile, my husband's like, I hate that orange hair. I really want your blonde hair back. And I'm like, you know, I'm an adult now. And through all the dyings, that my hair ain't going to be blonde like it was earlier. It's going to be dirty champagne, maybe. And it's never going to be blonde. He's like, I still like your natural hair color better.
See, Sloan says, yes, Katie looked so awesome with the orange color.
Now you guys are going to make me consider it again. I don't want so not anytime
she's
soon.
She's in the process of trying to grow it out. I think part of it is just seeing, because like her hair has changed a lot. Like when I met her, she was actually blonde.
Let me tell you, the silver gray, best look out of all of them for me.
She had a great silver gray look.
It lasted so all good. Of 5 seconds, but it was great.
But so she, I think seeing what her natural hair color is now.
What a bizarre thing. Yeah, okay, let's move on past my hair.
all right, let's see. Wait. There were a bunch of them, but...
Here's one. Maria, have you read Rose Daughter?
I have not, but it is on my list. I have heard of it. Unfortunately, I read no books for pleasure. I read for the podcast. Now, that is a little bit of a lie. In between some books, I've managed to squeeze in some other books, which is why Lindbergh was asking about the Maria sequels, because I've attempted to read some of the sequels we've done. And Lindbergh, the one comment I will say to that, because I didn't actually say this, was I thought I had finished the Raven Boys series, but then I realized that there was another book that I thought it was only 3 books and it's 4. So I'm in the process of finishing that last one. And then we will do it, because I would love to talk about that series with someone, because there are some things that I think go off the rails a little bit. And yet I love it so much.
Bro, somebody loved your Emma 8 shit shtick that you went through for that entire period. That
Emma
was really funny, actually.
Shit.
Let me funny. Tell you, my favorite thing about most, except from Persuasion, because my girl is an angel and should always be protected, but I love watching Jane Austen heroines eat shit. It's great. Mwah.
FaithSpeak says, do you guys ever read indie books or are you too busy? We're okay with indie books. They have to have an audiobook, though, because that's just the only way we really get through this many books.
These dreams are made of...
Teeth,
and and the I think wasn't the Titanic one.
Indie? Oh, so is Carry On,
A Million to One. I think that's an indie book.
Technically, also The Savior, Champion, Cyborg, Tinkerer, and Keeper were looking at doing. I think the Shadowversity, I think, did a book that's supposed to not be very good, and the Daniel Green books are also probably on our list somewhere, so those two are probably going to be there at some point. But yeah, we don't have a problem. It would need to have an audiobook with it, because otherwise it just would not really. What about you, Marie and Will? Will you dye your hair in different colors? It'd be interesting to see if blonde hair or blonde brown.
Marie already had pink hair. It's just so now not noticeable.
I will sometimes get like little highlights in my hair and then put a color on top of it. And I'll share, if you're in the Discord, I'll post some photos of when I had like manga red hair. And it's because I had so many little highlights that when I put the red on it, it just like, I almost just looked like I had maroon hair. And that was fun. I felt like an anime character. It was great. I highly recommend.
As everyone here knows, I barely get haircuts on a regular basis, so there's no way I'm dyeing my hair. I've been needing to get a haircut for about a month now, and it just has not happened. Anything that has to do with grooming, I'm really bad at.
I'm catching up on all the comments because I was really far behind reading the.
Yeah, there's a ton, is the thing. So
yeah, I know. I'm reading the part where it's like she had hair like a tangerine. It was like a tangerine.
It was great.
Radel Hardwick says, what about Legends and Latte, super cozy indie? Marie and Katie might do that one. I've not been putting it on the list because I don't want to do it. But to be honest, Marie and Katie would probably like it, I think. Mm. And so, I don't know. The thing about it is that, honestly, I have a lot more time for this than Marie and Katie. So that's why often it's me and one of the girls versus the two of them together. And so unless I'm going to be doing like something on my own, which like doesn't quite work as well, that's why. So yeah, so I mean at some point maybe.
I know, in an ideal world, I had a hot second where I believed that I could help Will with editing, and that like he helped me like download the software and everything, and I really wanted to help because I used to edit like dumb videos when I was younger, and I really like making funny cuts and everything. And I also was like, ah, let's start producing some stuff, that the comic shit, the grammar shit, I can use all of that. Nah, man.
Honestly, almost everything takes more time than you would think. I was doing compilations for a little bit of our videos, like the funny parts. Those didn't do well, but also they just took longer to do. And the thing is, like, I'm not a super productive person, and I have another YouTube channel, and then I edit for someone, and then I'm basically an indentured yard worker for my mother.
Yeah, you are. So... That's all you're doing every time I call. Hey, I have to go back out and help my mom with the yard work.
That's really funny. Important question, for William, how did you get so ruggedly handsome? I don't know, he was born this way, baby. It's a life of hard labor and making tough choices.
He was born in the darkness. He was molded by
it. Call me Zayden Ryderson. Somebody was saying how deeply weird it is that the only thing the main character is attracted to in him is his looks. And I was like, oh, that is weird. Like, there is nothing else about him she actually, like, likes.
She constantly says she can't, like, she's like, I won't be able to control myself. It's because it's like right at the beginning where she's like, we're having these issues, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, but physically, we're perfect together. But physically, it's perfect. We're a perfect match. It's hot as hell. Like, she literally says it's hot as hell. And I'm like, so he's like your boy toy then. And meanwhile, Zayden's like, you're the one for me. And I'm like,
God, we're going to have so many things to talk about there. A couple of people have been saying we should read Blood Meridian instead of Shadowversary's book. And I don't know why those two are linked. I would like to read Blood Meridian. I think that's really good. But if we read Shadowversary's book, it's because we know going in it's bad. You know, again, we tried to do roasts like at least once every month or two, and that would probably just be why. Blood Meridian would be an entirely different thing. Assuming the Blood Meridian they're talking about is the one by the No Country for Old Men guy. I forget his name.
By the way, one of the questions was, what's our favorite romance tropes?
Oh.
What is your favorite romance trope?
I feel like mine should be apparent. Everyone should clock it from a mile away.
Everyone put in what you think Maria's romance trope is. Everyone put it in while Will answers this, and then we'll take a look at
No. Put in Maria's first, then put in Katie's, and then put in mine.
Put it together. What do you, everyone, your time to interact. So Maria, people are saying monster boyfriend. Name beside the genre you guys want.
They're like 30 seconds behind us, so it'll take a minute. We should do that for the poll. We should do that for a poll.
Once everyone's done, don't say anything. Stop it.
They're 3 minutes behind. We've already had a bajillion.
Okay, well, everyone picked monster boyfriend, so there you go. They were right.
That is...
Listen, these are really funny.
Taya Blackbird says, Will, bitchy
hawk. God, it's weird.
You guys hit that on the head. Like, that was really good. I didn't even think about that.
There are others for the record, so don't, you know, keep, you haven't hit...
I want to know what everyone thinks mine is, though. So you pegged Will, not literally. You pegged Maria, also not literally. But what do you think my... Oh, God. Maybe I don't want to ask that question.
Someone said enemies to lovers for Katie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad guess. You do kind of like that kind of...
That's a solid guess, actually. I think I said that, not... Will likes lesbians.
With Tatas.
In a purely non-exoticizing way or objectifying way, I would like to say. Just not like that at all.
Marocat says, Katie fairy smut?
I mean, fair enough. Fair enough. Therapy. Omegaverse? Bro, that's mean of you to point out, bro. I graduated from that point, but yeah, that was basically my... A hot guy.
Laura says, more. Who said they were slow burn bitches once? That's me and Maria. We're both slow burn.
I am too. So what's
that's
it matter?
That's my second one. It's that's monster like everyone. Boyfriend and slow burn. No, some people do not want the slow burn. They want to just get into the action of it. No, I'm a slow burn bitch for life.
Valerie, I started this podcast. I started this podcast not thinking I was a monster boyfriend stan, and within like four or five books I was like, oh, I'm here for it. I thought I was monster boyfriend adjacent. No, I am monster boyfriend trash as well.
No. How do these people know?
Yeah, that's yes. actually a good one. Her comfort is really good.
Katie is into her comfort. Holy shit. There.
It is.
Yeah, that's like yeah, that's perfect. That's very close. I also like her comfort. I think that's a good one.
Yeah,
slow burn is everything. Yeah, so, okay. So you guys do know us pretty well.
That was really horrifying to realize.
Mine is easy. I talk about mine all the
yes,
time.
You do. Yes, you do.
I'm super vocal about it, and I'm unabashedly proud of it.
Somebody asked, what are good examples of monster boyfriend?
Oh, y'all. So I'm going to throw Axiom's End into the ring. I'm just gonna frisbee disc it into...
I love me some alien with not real genitalia to human genitalia, or not human genitalia, you know what I mean?
His like, hands can change shape into different tools.
Perfect. Those froggy folks says, because I have the same taste as Katie.
let's see. What else? I don't think we've actually read any other good monster boyfriend.
So, when I was younger, there was a couple of books, and I'm blanking on the name, so I will try to get this out there, maybe on a community post for you guys. The problem is, some of them I read when I was younger. Like, there was this one called Beast, and it was about a Persian prince who gets turned into a lion for sacrificing
I want to read that
a camel
one for the
that
podcast.
Knew pain, and then he ends up as a lion, and then as a lion ends up in France, and then romances somehow a poor French peasant girl. So that's one. And then there's one by that one lady who does a lot of the fantasy stuff. It's called Beauty.
Yeah, I know. I have your copy of the book still.
Yeah. And I liked that. But again, I haven't read either of those since I was young. So I'd have to re-look at it and see. As we all know, Maria loved Ice Planet. That doesn't count for me as monster boyfriend. Ice Planet Barbarians.
No, you hit the nail on the head at one point when you said it's only monster boyfriend if they're not hot when they fall in love. Otherwise, it's just hot guy. That's not monster boyfriend.
I don't, and it's kind of like I had this weird thing going into hello from Greece. Glad you're here. But I have this weird thing where when we went into Sword Heart, I thought he was going to be like, she was just communicating
with the
sword.
Yeah, me too, and I was disappointed when he wasn't.
Maria and
I thought we were going to have a transistor situation.
Yeah, no, yes, actually, that's a perfect comparison. Maria and I were both like, we thought it was going to be like the Zanpakuto from Bleach, where it's like the spirit within, and like you go into your inner world, and then that's how you speak to him or something.
Yes, Robin McKinley, that's the author I was thinking about, and Rose Daughter is by Robin McKinley. That's the one who did The Beauty that I liked when I was younger, and one of the reasons I liked that version of Beauty is it's very similar to one of the original, there's this one French author who wrote like the first novel version of Beauty and the Beast that a lot of the ones take their stuff from, which I have actually read. Very like good and not good to be found there. But that
I also want to do Rose Daughter. I think that would be interesting.
I would love to do
Rose Daughter.
It's the Robin McKinley version of Beauty and the Beast. I also want to
Beauty. Beauty is Robin McKinley as well. She's done.
Oh, two? Yeah. No, a lot of those I'm interested in. The one where he turns into a lion that Maria mentioned earlier, that actually I'm also kind of interested in. So Transistor, beloved. I love Transistor.
Guys, I really wish I would love to read a book that is basically Transistor, but in novelization. It's because, let me tell you, that relationship...
I thought that book... I wanted that game to go a little harder. Like, there were so many
too.
Good things in it, and then it didn't quite come together in
but
the
end.
But
they always do that. They always... That creates... Yes. That team always does that.
Yeah, a little bit.
What is Transistor?
It's a video game.
You've seen me play it before.
It's the one that's like a cyber world where she has a big sword that she carries around that talks to
her.
And
she's got red hair, and it's like, it's tactics. You see, you walked by in our apartment for 5 seconds and were like, oh, I like the art. And that was it.
Fair.
Yeah, the music to that game is really gorgeous as well.
Wait, this is the perfect thing to have on when making things like pistachio. Pastizio.
Pastizio.
Well, I thought I said pistachio for a second. I know what pastizio is. You literally had it for your birthday every year for like ages.
I have thought that me and Katie should do some, like, streaming video games, I think.
Oh my god, that would be sick. I would love that.
Elysium, Disco Elysium, I think we would have a lot of fun with. I started playing that when I was sick, so unfortunately I have like sick energy, but everyone talks about how great that is. And in terms of story, I think it would be interesting. I did not do my sideburns correctly today. Sorry guys, that was my ADHD brain. So yeah, I think that would be fun. But again, that kind of comes down to like, we don't really have time. Like, it would be fun to do all these things, but we don't necessarily have a game.
Oh man. One day you just dangled bait in front of Valerie.
One day I'd like to get to the point where the podcast does well enough that I could only, like, I could work part time somewhere and still live in the fashion I am accustomed to. Bye, Laura.
Yeah. So funny.
You know, like, I'd like to downgrade, but I'd like
to. I am accustomed to my lifestyle.
If I could just keep this lifestyle, but only have to work 20 hours a week to do so, the amount of stuff we would do, like, I would love to do video essays. And there's so much stuff I'd like to do, but we just unfortunately don't have time. Because it's like, it's not just podcast and, like, full-time job, but it's also, like, family. Significant
fixing
other.
Up your house. It's because your house, when you bought it, needed a lot of updates.
Animals. So much attention.
You'd be surprised how much attention those cats need.
Like, Katie and Maria also have like just functioning love lives too, and their partners want attention.
It's so exhausting.
I don't know what that's like, but it's one of these things where you just have
to trust
that people.
But very exhausting. But yeah, no, I mean, guys.
My life is filled with Warhammer.
Do you see this? This is my office. It's because I don't have time to put bookshelves up, and I don't have time to put things away. It's either editing your guys' stuff, reading a book for the podcast, work for work, or chores. And that's life.
Kat says, just become very big and leave your day jobs.
That's the dream. Pat, I'm waiting.
It's not going to happen, waiting. Guys. No, we're going to be a niche channel forever. Like, we're not going to hit that. We would have hit it by now.
Oh, it's exhausting.
There are actually upsides to being a small channel. Again, it lets us do things that, like, we don't necessarily need to worry about being successful. So, like, a guest in the house, the critique streams, I kind of think of that way, even though those do really well for us. But just, there are upsides to it. And I think we're all really grateful for you guys, and
yeah, we are. Oh god,
we're super grateful for our patrons, but we're also just grateful for all of those. Like, there have been some of you that like will be like, can't watch this video for one reason or another, but commenting for the algorithm gods, and like, that's big. Do you know how many people, like, I literally am now someone on a YouTube channel and know how important it is. Do you know how few comments I make ever on anyone else's channel? So I appreciate everyone who watches, everyone who comments, everyone who throws us a like. Like, it is so, number one, validating, because this is like a whole thing that we do, and like
it's a lot of effort.
And it's just like, you guys enjoy it and you like it, and we're like, yeah, I'll do it for them, you know. And it it becomes fueling, and then, you know, the monetary side of it is absolutely great, like when that happens. But like, just the feedback and interaction we get from you guys. And we say that every time we do a live stream, we have a portion at the end where we're like, thank you for existing. And yes, thank you for existing. You make it all worth it. If you can, join our Patreon. It's an amazing place. But if you can't, that's also fine. The support you guys give us.
There's one commenter who's been commenting since we were really small called Chris M779, and I just want to shout her out because she always leaves really thoughtful, smart comments. And I don't think she's part of the Patreon, but we really appreciate that. It's always interesting to see how much people have to say about a book. Our Mistborn has gotten 135 comments at this point, which is just insane.
Yeah. No, I wanted
Yanni
to say.
Says, go ahead. It took me a year, but I finally got my mom to start watching your vids. She really liked your spinning silver video.
God, that's our first one.
I wanted to say that prior to doing, when Will pitched this to us, we were like, okay, this is really cool. We can use our majors and the things that we love to do to actually do something with it. Honestly, this is doing this podcast has given my life. Okay, look, this has given my life purpose to a certain degree, and I really need that. It's because otherwise it's pretty dark here. And this is it's really nice to see people actually care enough about reading and writing that there's this kind of like support, because prior to this, I felt like there was never going to be a time where I could do that.
Engage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. It's interesting, you know, how people they draw people like-minded people to them, and it's really cool going into the Discord and seeing people like discuss the books really smartly. Like, just takes I would not expect from other people. Takes that kind of like surprise me and challenge me, and that's really nice. There's one I was gonna read,
Yeah, it's up there, I
but I can't
think.
remember.
Here, take a look for it.
But
But yeah,
anyway,
thank you
no.
guys.
Yeah, no, thank you all. And I think that's probably good for today then, right?
Yeah.
Also, thank you all of you who have made someone in your life watch one of our videos and kind of
That's so
forced them
sweet of
into
you.
it. That's great.
You know, we got
That's
to
awesome.
130.
What?
No, we got up to 156.
Oh, really?
What?
I think so, yeah. It was one
Man.
it was it kept going down to 140 and 150.
All right.
Man,
So
look
maybe we'll
out.
do another one of these at the end of the year, and then at 10,000 as well. So we'll see. All right. We love you all, our parasocial
Parasocial
darlings.
darlings.
Have a good day.
Mwah! Have a good weekend, guys. And those of you who are working, I hope it's not bad. I hope it's short and easy.
All
I
right,
hope it's
bye.
chill.